ABM 1.
In a world racked by mediocrity, two angry heroes from New Jersey have returned from 20 years of self-imposed exile. Their mission, to blaze a trail of freedom in defiance of all odds. Inexpensive surreal comedy is their weapon. Smiting the obsequious and vanquishing oppression is their calling. Their lives have reconverged at a time when the universe needs them most to make one final stand. They have been called so wildly pathetic as to be insane, branded ignorant of history and a host of other things, and found guilty of human rights violations. This is the story of a man named Brady, who was bringing up three boys of his own, where Indian fights are colorful sights and nobody takes a lickin', where Paleface and Redskin both turn chicken. Love, exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. I don't actually know where I'm going with this, but they do. There's an exit ramp up ahead. Abandon reality. It's time for the Anything But Monday show.
Yes, here we are.
We are back.
We are back. Welcome to the Anything But Monday show.
21 years later to the day.
Yes.
To the day.
Yes. What day is it today, Mike?
Today is, actually, my watch does not keep proper dates. It just makes up a date as it goes along. So actually, it's February 18th right now.
But February 18th.
But actually, it's February 17th. Is the
yes.
Actual
right
date.
Now, as we're recording this, it's February 17th, 2007. And 21 years ago today, we started the Anything But Monday show, and we're going to be telling you all about that, the history of how we got to be here, and the vast gulf of time between then and now, and
it's a chasm of time.
We're going to tell you what happened. A lot of stuff happened between then and now.
I want to clear something up before we get started. Before we go any further.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Just blame it on me, okay? Because nothing has changed, because yes. It's always going to be my fault. All right. I was the one that when I met you, your family, I was anathema to your family. I ruined their son. I took them away. He was a good student. He was a good boy. He was quiet. You know, he didn't hurt anybody. He was a great kid, and I ruined you. So I'm sure this is going to happen again.
Well, here's the thing. Of course, we're going to go into the whole history of this thing. We met in college back in the 1980s here in New Jersey. We met in college, and we became friends, and we decided to start a radio show. And that led us down a path to creating almost a media empire. A lot of you may not have heard of it, the Anything But Monday show, the Anything But Monday magazine, but we were almost there. We were that close back in the 80s, and it all collapsed.
This is not to be confused with the Anything But Monday girl band, which we'll talk about later on.
Yes, we're going to have an update on that in a very strange twist of fate. I wouldn't think the term Anything But Monday would be that easy to come up with, but there is a new girl group, sort of like the Spice Girls, that have the same name as us. I'm not trying to say they stole it from us. I don't know where it came from, but we're going to get into that as well. So,
before we go any further.
Yes. Right,
first of all, you know, people have asked me how I came up with the money for this.
Yeah.
Because we have jobs, we have lives. It's not our day job yet. Right. And many people have asked me how I've come up with the money for the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, people don't know this, but I actually came up with this show money by selling whiskey and guns to the Indians.
Really?
Because they fall for it every time.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, if you may be wondering, I mean, this is a, you know, a podcast, an internet radio show. And of course, some people, they just take their, you know, their $500 PC and they plug a little microphone into it and start doing the show. But we've decided to try to do things a little bit better and get a little bit better equipment. So we have a state-of-the-art studio here. And it's very exciting, and Mike provided some of the money for that.
Yeah, like no, all of the money for that. But yeah. Anyway, like I need to handle something with
yes.
you before we get started.
Yeah, something in the beginning of the show.
I'm
yeah.
quite distressed.
Okay? Yeah, what's the matter?
So let me just give you a little background. The other day, okay. So I'm on the Planet of the Apes the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm meeting with General Ursus.
Yes.
And you know that me and the general aren't exactly on the best of terms, right?
No, absolutely right. Not.
He's still stewing over the whole Charlton Heston damn dirty ape comment.
Yeah.
Even though I told him the guy's like on his last leg now. He's old. He's senile. He's pissing himself regularly. Anyway, I'm like, so General, I got this job for you, right? Being from New Jersey, that's what you always say, right? That involves you and your monkey heavies taking out this megalomaniac, fundamentalist Christian leader of a world superpower who shall remain nameless.
Yeah.
All right? In a parallel universe not too far from here. Right? You follow? You tracking me with this?
Yeah, because if you think about it, the Planet of the Apes was in New Jersey because you at the end of the movie, you see the Statue of Liberty, which is in New Jersey, technically.
Exactly. So, anyway, I assured him that it will be an easy job because the guy you're after is a complete moron.
Yeah.
Okay, who probably think you're like Mighty Joe Young or Son of Kong or one of the other Hollywood apes has come for a friendly visit, which is just the opening you need, you know? And you know what he tells me?
What?
No thanks, Mike. I have to take a pass on this because, you know, I have plenty of humans to track down and kill right here. It's good, steady work. And besides, the wife will kill me if I astral travel one more time this month.
Now, this is the general. This is the guerrilla general from the Planet of the Apes, right? The
guy. People know who General Ursus is. Do I have to explain who that is?
Well, you know, I mean, there's a whole generation that probably didn't grow up with Planet of the Apes.
They didn't?
Well, there was also the Planet of the Apes TV show. Remember that one?
No, this is not the Planet of the Apes T-shirt.
How many dimension levels away from this dimension is the Planet of the Apes? Last I heard, it was like 15 levels away. How the hell did you get over there?
Well, this is what I'm getting to, Frank.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Then he tries to throw a net over me.
Yeah.
Right, and things start really getting out of control. But then it dawns on me. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I'm on the fucking Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Right? Then it also occurs to me that the only one that has a type of technology to transport me there are the Iranians, the North Koreans, and you. Okay.
Yes.
So do you want to fess up now before I needlessly go blaming the Iranians and North Koreans?
Yes. I do have the technology, of course.
So why do that to me?
I don't know. I mean, it was just
spur of the moment thing.
Listen, I was testing the system. They said type someone's name, and I can't. Who am I? I'll type Mike. You know, Mike Masters. I'll put his name in there. Who knows? I mean, you know, you have to put someone's name in. It's like, you know, usually it's like a dummy name. You know, put name here. Like, oh, so Joe Smith.
Wait. So you think dumb when you put my name in?
Or John Smith, you know, but I said, whatever. I don't want to put John Smith. Everyone puts John Smith. I'll put Mad Mike Masters in. I hit enter. It was supposed to be disconnected, but I forgot. I left it connected. The other connection was in, and I'm sorry.
And then we have reality blam, and
yes,
that's it. Right?
I sent you to another dimension, yes.
Right. Good.
So I don't know.
So I'll let you know, I just barely got out of there.
Yeah.
And I've had no sleep now because of that, and I have to do this show tired.
Yeah.
So
now, how'd you get back from the Planet of the Apes?
Oh, that's a whole other story. It had something to do involving a space coaster. I don't want to go there.
Yeah,
so it wasn't a pleasant trip back.
Did you say space coaster?
Yeah,
space coaster. We don't have too many sound effects just yet, but we have the roller coaster.
Is history.
Oh wait,
what the hell?
This is the trailer to Planet of the Apes, but the new one. No. Sorry about that.
Wait, hold on. What Planet of the Apes was that?
That's a new one with Marky Mark.
Next, you'll be telling us these beasts have a soul.
That one sucked. That was awful.
Why is Marky Mark not in the Funky Bunch in the Planet of the Apes?
I don't know. We have to find the real Planet of the Apes. But
anyway, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. But I had to handle that one. So
yes.
We need to let people know what this whole insanity is all about. So why don't you do that?
All right. So basically, go back in time. I know a lot of you weren't even born yet back in 1985, right? This is when it actually started. We were at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey, which is, I would say, like a liberal arts college. It's a classic university setting and has the woods and the pathways through the fallen leaves. When you think of like a college or a university, it's a very tranquil campus, right?
Exactly.
When I first got there, oh, what a nice campus. You have the churches and the old buildings, and it's very nice. Little did they know what was going to be happening there.
No, well, they know what was lurking down the hall from you. Yes.
So I go to college there. It's 1985. I'm like, I don't know. How old are you when you go to college? Like 15? I don't know. I mean, I'm really young.
I'm like some sort of
child prodigy. I don't know.
You're a child prodigy.
I was a little bit. Let's say I was a little bit of a late bloomer.
Yeah.
When I first got there, I guess you could say kind of a nerd or a dork. And just for example, when I the first day I got there, and this is a cringe moment of all time, I brought boxes and boxes of comic books to the dorm room, right? And as I'm unpacking my comic book collection, you know, I don't even know where I was putting it. I had comic book box. You know, I was like opening a comic book store in there. One of the guys in the dorm comes up to me and he's walking down. He's giving beers out to the new freshman. He's like, "Hey man, want a beer?" and I hold up a comic book called The New Mutants, which is sort of an offshoot of the X-Men. And I said, no, thank you. My heroes, The New Mutants, wouldn't approve of that.
Oh, my God.
And the guy's like, okay, dude. And he's like, walks away. That was me. That was me.
I can't
back in 1985.
I'm actually doing a show.
That was absolute cringe moment. And, of course,
pathetic.
I also
pathetic.
Unpacked my pajamas. And luckily, the first day, I caught wind of the fact that pajamas were not going to fly. So I had comic books and pajamas. I don't know. I was probably like 17, 18 or something. I had a lot of growing up to do.
You were telling me you were wearing pajamas made out of comic books?
Well, you know, maybe it was like The Flash or Green Lantern Underoos. I don't know what I had, you know.
See, what did you wear then? If pajamas weren't going to fly, what did you wear?
I forget. I don't know what it was. Just I don't know what you were. What did you wear to bed back? I don't even remember. This is how long? This is 22 years ago now.
Oh, a lot's changed in 22 years.
Yes. So anyway, I met Mike. Mike was living down the hall. Now you had been there already a year, right?
Yeah, back to the same dorm because you have no choice but to go back to the way you came from.
Yeah, so you had already been there a year. You had a little bit more experience, and you came and you met me. And what was your first impression on meeting me back then in 1985?
it wasn't a good one, man.
Nah,
it was. I mean, I really.
What was your very first impression of me, if you can remember?
Right, I don't. I try to blot that out.
Yeah,
there's not a lot left there. I mean, I killed a lot of those brain cells back then, so I don't really remember. I remember from like Anything with Money Show on, really, but I don't remember much before.
You don't remember the origins.
All I remember you coming into your room and just trying to save you from those hooligans that were tormenting you that night.
Yeah, there were a couple guys on the floor that would torment me because I was sort of kind of a nerd, I don't know if a nerd, but I wasn't like your classic nerd. I was a misfit. I was a misfit.
You were more than a misfit, man. You were very eccentric.
So, but eventually we became friends, and I remember that you would come in our room. My roommate, of course, was this guy John, and he was also into comic books.
Right,
a lot of comic book people back then, and. You would come in the room and quote lines from the movie Rambo,
right?
And play this video game called Rogue all night long,
right?
And
that's when I actually knew how to use a computer.
Yeah.
See, you know, where we went, here's the shocking thing. Where we went at Drew, they had a thing called a Computer Initiative Program, which was the first university in the country. That was actually a question on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
The first university in the country that actually gave all entering freshmen their own computer. An Epson QX16.
Yeah, you cannot imagine.
This, it weighed about 80 pounds.
If you saw that movie, The Matrix, where it was this black screen with this green writing on there, that's what these computers were. It was just green lettering. That's all it was.
And a dot matrix.
Yeah, there was no graphics. There was nothing. Just green lettering on the screen.
Right.
That was it. So we met, and somehow, I don't know how it even happened, we talked about the radio. I think I said that I was interested in doing a radio show. Mm. And... you also were interested, so come the following year, the following semester, we decided to apply to
try out.
The WMNJ, the college radio station, and we got accepted for the last time slot available, which what was it, Monday morning at like 6 a.m., 7 a.m.?
It was a crack o' dawn first time slot in the morning that no one, of course, would listen to.
Yeah, I'm going to play you a little bit of this right now. This is us exactly 21 years ago, almost to the hour. I mean, we're... Well, they've adjusted time over the past 21 years, so we've added a few seconds here and there.
Right, exactly.
But this is almost to the hour, probably, you know, 21 years and 6 hours ago, 7 hours, 5 hours ago.
Something like that.
So here we go. Just check this out. This is us. Let's take a little trip back in time as I find my back in time sound effect. Here we go. A little trip back in time. Back to the past. Here we are.
Good morning. You're listening to Anything But Monday with Mike and Frank. This is WMNJ, Madison Chatham, 88.9 FM stereo. We'll be with you for the next couple hours, and we'll give Frank a chance to say hello.
Hello.
Very original guy, this Frank Nora over here. But that was Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves. If you're up right now, hopefully you have class. You're not up just listening to the show because you're crazy. Right now, I want to say, if Linda Blaney, if you are up listening, thank you very much for that great...
All right, we're coming back.
Stop.
We're coming back. We're back.
Stop.
We're back. Who is Linda Blaney, by the way?
I don't know. I
she was the first person ever mentioned on the Anything But Monday show.
I hate...
Who is Linda Blaney? Please.
I hate myself already listening to myself. I can't take it. I can't even believe that was actually me. That was very bad.
But that's how it started.
Yeah.
And
that's what then it all went downhill from there.
Yes. After we were on the air for a few weeks, we were informed of our removal from the air by the WMNJ air staff.
Yeah.
Right. They informed us that because of our incompetence.
Incompetence.
We were kicked off the air.
Incessant pandering to listeners.
Yes.
And I quote all that. What did he say? They called up on the phone. Yeah,
the program director. Who was another student? These were not These were not like official people. Just another student. He's like, why don't you stop with all this Imus in the morning shit?
Right. And he hangs the phone.
Yeah.
The Imus in the morning show. That was a big thing.
That was a big comedy show back then. Was Imus. And so we were kicked off. So we decided to create a magazine version of the show. And that were very, very rudimentary, very primitive. Anything But Monday magazine number one was released. Not too much fanfare, right? It was just a small thing. We went down to the penny press there in Madison, New Jersey. We had like Elmer's glue and those little safety scissors, and we were cutting pieces out of newspapers to make this magazine.
Well, here's a bit of trivia. The first charge ever put on one of my credit cards.
Really?
Was a charge for that.
Really? It was a penny press, huh?
I had a MasterCard. You know, they imbecilically give, students in college. Yeah. And I had a MasterCard. I don't know what kind of, I don't know if I got a cash advance or I got something from the bank, right? It was like 40-something dollars. You had to print these.
It was like $40?
It was like 47, it might have been $70. It was a lot of money back then.
They just
For photocopy.
It was one sheet of paper folded over.
Right. And so what happens is I get the money off the card.
Yeah.
And I'm like all free. I'm like, oh my God, I just put money in a credit card. I'm going to pay this back. And like, and then we printed it out. And here's the amazing thing. That charge never appeared on my charge card.
Really?
It's never been paid. To this day, they're still probably looking for me.
Listen, we got to go to Penny Press and repay our debt.
No, they paid Penny Press. I never showed up my billing statement.
Uh-huh. You know, so that's the bad karma that started all of this.
Exactly.
Started us down this road. Mm-hmm. We finally feel it. I never knew that. I never knew that you never.
I just remember that.
So
man.
What bank was it? Let's give them some money.
Dude, I don't know what bank it was. It was a credit card. They send you those applications. Like
Mid-Atlantic, one of these banks that disappeared many years ago.
Yes, they send you the application. Congratulations. You idiotic student.
Like Chemical Bank, one of these lost banks.
what is a Chemical Bank, man?
That's gone. I don't know. They've all merged all together. Chemical Bank, Mid-Atlantic, they're all gone.
Are you really going to go that far with a name like Chemical Bank?
Yeah, I know.
Like you walk in there and what's going to be there? These like, drums of toxic waste.
What's next? Pesticide savings, I mean, that's not a good...
Chemical Bank, the dime savings.
Yeah.
You walk in there and it was like, what is it, like rolls and rolls of dimes.
Yeah, that was their big thing. They would give you all change in dimes.
that was their gimmick.
Dime.
Didn't go all too far. With Chemical Bank, like barrels of toxic waste stacked to the rafters. Welcome to Chemical Bank. Well, your money's safe because no one will come in here for risk of radioactivity.
Yeah.
So
that was the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think that a famous person can better explain what happened after that. We continued publishing the magazine, and eventually it became a national publication. And so we're fast forwarding now 3 years to February of 1989. So that's 3 years later. So that would be 18 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can find my clip here.
Mm-hmm. maybe we'll edit this.
No editing allowed.
Oh, okay. Good.
I'm just trying to get the clip here. Why don't you fill in while I'm looking?
What you're skipping over is all the human rights violations and the, which is all true. You heard in the intro.
Yeah.
You know, with that we were labeled ignorant of history and a host of other things. We were human rights violators. What else?
Let me play this clip. This is from the actual MTV, right? MTV, everyone knows MTV is very popular.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Check this clip out. This actually aired on MTV in February of 89. We were, at that point, we were on our way up. We were rising our media empire.
People have to understand, we used to hang out at MTV.
Yeah.
We'd go in there and
I was an intern.
You'd walk right in. And they're like, hey, how are you? You walk to the front doors, and a minute later, you could be browsing the videos.
They
actually had videotape.
Back in like the 88, 89, every music video ever was in this room.
It was like a picture a big shopping aisle at a supermarket. You could just go down and grab a video off the shelf.
It was literally everyone ever.
And there was no security. You'd wander around. The VJs would be around. You'd hang out. We'd talk. And no one cared. And we looked like the biggest couple of bums you'd ever seen
exactly.
in your life. Like, if we walked in looking like we did back then today, we'd be hauled off and arrested immediately.
Yeah, at that point, I had ceased being sort of a nerd, and I had like hair down halfway down my back. I wore dirty clothes all the time. I was like, I don't even know what I was trying to be, like a pseudo burnout. I don't even know.
It was better than the time you wore that shirt in college with the pin still in it.
Oh yeah,
you know that? Oh, he comes back in. Because Frank, this is what Frank used to do in college when I used to live with him. He never washed his clothing. So what he would do is every time he needed some clean clothing, he'd open up something new. Like, and he had all these shirts that his grandmother gave him that were in the plastic and the
folded, probably after Christmas,
the folded dress shirts. So he opened up I'd be sleeping in the morning. I hear this, you know, rustling going on like that. And it's Frank opening another one of his clean shirts that was in a plastic, and he put it on and go leave like that. So it's got all the creases in it and all the things. And one day he comes back, he's like and he's complaining. He's got all these red marks all over him, welts, and he's bleeding.
All these welts,
like,
what's all over
the matter?
Me.
I go, Frank, did you take the fucking pins out of the shirt? Oh, the pins, you know. I'm like, you idiot. But it's a true story. That actually happened.
Yes, it was actually quite painful.
Yeah.
But I just want to give you, to show you, we went from nothing. You heard that introduction, that we started from scratch to this. 3 years later, our media empire is on the rise. And it's loading right now. Here we go. Our media empire was on the rise. Oh, come on. It'll be here in a second.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
Okay. It's just YouTube. I'm hosting this on YouTube. Here we go. It's coming. Whoa. One moment. Come on. You know, technical issues is always going to be a thing. All right, here we go. Let's try it out here.
With MTV News. And that's something that has to be taken into consideration.
On a more coherent level, there's a new bi-monthly comic out called Anything But Monday, written by and for college students. The magazine began 3 years ago as a college radio show at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey, and it went into print after the school yanked the program off the air. Then Drew also tried unsuccessfully to censor the magazine, which falls somewhere between Mad and National Lampoon on the laughter scale. The latest issue features parodies of The Far Side, Dennis the Menace, and Batman, and it's not recommended for those who are easily offended. It's on sale at most comic book stores and also available for $2 from Anything But Monday, 451 Bloomfield Avenue, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. That's the news for now. Stay tuned for more music here on MTV.
MTV News. You hear it.
First. Yes. So that was very official.
Kurt Loder, who's about 75.
Kurt Loder.
Right,
yes, that was Kurt Loder. I actually was an intern for the news department. He was a very, very nice person. Kurt Loder, I used to work there. Now, I need to point out, it's National Lampoon magazine, not Lampoo. I can't believe someone on a teleprompter says Lampoo. He just sits there. National Lampoo.
National Lampoo.
He doesn't know this back. And then also, that address, of course, is defunct. That's our old address on Bloomfield Avenue. Of course, we have a new address on Bloomfield Avenue. But,
of all strangers, but, it worked out that way. Yeah.
So that gives you the idea. There's news reports on MTV about us. Our magazine is nationally distributed. We are on our way. Okay?
They basically wanted us to work for this magazine called MTV To Go. We did some writing for MTV To Go, which is a brilliant idea. If you remember those record clubs, they still have those record clubs. They still have those.
Yeah, a 18 CDs for one penny. I don't know if they're still doing that.
You get that thing. But their brilliant idea was, like, you know, just don't send an envelope with, like, the thing to pick with the catalog.
So we were on our way, right? We were on our way up. So now this is February of 2007, right? So we started in February of 86, and by February of 89, we're on MTV. Everything great is happening. Now, 1 year later, February of 1990, it's over.
Yeah, why is it over?
It's over.
Why is it over?
Because our company collapsed. Our media empire completely collapsed.
Why did that happen?
Well, there are a lot of contributing factors to it. If you look at the market conditions at the time and the national distribution of the comic book system, well, there was a photographer involved.
Wrong.
What?
Wrong.
This is something we're going to have to get into.
It is wrong, man.
We're going to have to get into this. But basically, back in 1989, Mike and I had some conflicts, what you might want to say. We brought someone else into our company, the old Anything But Money Productions. We brought a photographer in to help us with our photography needs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that shows you how far we went. We started off as a radio show, then we became a magazine, and then we needed a full-time photographer, and we didn't even take that many pictures. So I don't know what happened. I guess at some point, it's difficult to admit this, but I started conspiring against you, Mike, with the photographer, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And we kicked you out of the company briefly, and our final issue came out.
And you think this is funny for some reason?
It's funny because it's, you know, very, sometimes unpleasant things are funny. You know, a lot of humor is very.
Give me an example of something that's unpleasant that's funny.
All right. So both our lives were destroyed.
Good one. Ruined.
Great. Oh, you know? Great.
Yeah, because of you, we were that close. Come on.
That photographer was helping with the situation. It wasn't just me. It was the photographer.
We were going to the MTV after parties. We were hanging out with huge celebrities like Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes, Gilbert Gottfried. Yes.
we were hanging out with him.
Yeah.
We were doing all this kind of crazy.
We were on our way, and we did not know about marketing. We did not know about a lot of things. And we're
ignorant of that and a host of other things. Yeah.
So today, right now, literally, this is the first major. This is the resurrection of Anything But Monday.
Right, and just to clarify, it has not become politically correct. Just like the rest of this milk toast pussy world has become.
I don't know. I'm milk toast and pussy whip, aren't you? We're old. Like, we're older now. How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah,
I'll be 41.
I'm 39.
And you'll be 40.
I'll be 40 this year.
Right. So that tells you how much time is.
We're old.
That to most people is old now.
I know. I don't feel old though.
You know. But it really has been a long time. Yeah. So we are much.
I don't feel much different than I did when I was putting my comic book collection away in my dorm room and refusing to drink a beer. I mean, you know.
You went from that to the nightclub we had running out of our room.
Yes.
That's a classic story.
Yeah.
I'll never forget moving in our junior. It was my junior year. That was the year that all the shit hit the fan. But my my junior year, Frank's sophomore year of college, because we roomed together, and we had this whole quad picked out, and of course we're going to share it with a couple other people.
I want to just point out if people now are fascinated by the 1980s and the music of the 1980s, and they watch those movies, like what are some good movies from that time, like
the college movies,
like college movies from the 80s and. We actually lived that. We lived
Animal House.
Yes.
We actually, and we're not making it up. I could write a movie.
We actually lived this. We had this sort of idyllic 80s movie life for a little while.
You know those movies that you have to have a willing suspension of disbelief to really believe what these guys are getting away with? We did all that stuff. It wasn't like it was made up. Let me case in point.
Yes.
First day, we get into campus. Everybody's moving in the normal shit. Laundry and refrigerators. what are Frank and I doing? We're lowering in by like a block and tackle at this gigantic pinball machine through the window.
Yeah,
because we were like on floor. We were like on below ground level through the. So at the ground level window, we're lowering a pinball machine in there.
I'm trying to find my pinball sound effect.
Anyway, we don't need a pinball sound effect. But the point is, I'm thinking that my big fear is this pinball machine is going to be so disturbing and disruptive to the other students. Little did I know, it wouldn't be the pinball machine.
That's true. That's what we were most concerned about.
It was the bar that we were running out of our room. Because I worked that summer.
Yeah.
In a beverage facility where they sold, mixers and soda and whatever. And I'm thinking, what a great idea. I could really steal some of this stuff, take it with me, right? And we could run a bar, and we could have regulars, and we could charge money, and we could make money. Have a little cottage industry running out of our dorm room, right?
Yeah.
So we had a name. It was called The Cave.
That's what our machine sounded like, by the way. It was Gemini. It was an old electromechanical pinball.
Right. So
And you had the old time ginger beer, right? That's what you brought. This obscure beverage that went out of business years ago.
You had
hundreds of these things. Their expiration date was like 84. It was rancid.
But we had a closet that clothes were supposed to hang in. There were no clothes in it. It was stacked with old mixers and alcohol and everything.
Yeah, so we had literally.
So I'm 20. I'm 20 at this point. Just turned 20 years old.
I was like,
old.
I don't even know.
Your friend is 19. All right. So I got all these alcohol. I got all these mixers. We build a bar.
Yeah.
Out of milk crates and disassembling our bed. So we took the sideboards off our bed.
Now where did we get? We had what we called a loft.
There was
this giant wooden construct in our dorm room.
Yeah, so
where did that even come from?
We made the room into a split level. We bought it from the people that were before us. The people that are there before us in the room. We could buy the actual what was left. So they left it there. We bought it for them.
Yeah.
From them, and we had to put it back up, which we did.
Yeah.
So it gave you a lot of extra room because these rooms are not big. So you could sleep up top so that you could walk underneath.
So you would put like a mattress up there, and then the ceiling was literally like a foot above your head.
Yeah, it's like sleeping in a big bunk bed.
A couple times, I think I tried sitting up and I bashed my head against the ceiling.
Yeah.
You have one of those dreams where you're like, woo, 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 and you sit and you bash your head.
The worst thing is when you had a girl up in the loft.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'll tell you the horror story about that with Frank. But
oh, boy. I did have a...
that was horrific.
Yes.
Me walking out of that one happened to be one of the most homely girls in the entire campus. I had to walk in and see that one.
Yeah.
Frank, covering it up with pinball sound effects ain't going to make it any better. But anyway.
Yes.
So going back to the bar. So we got a bar going. Regular people start coming.
Yeah.
We're serving alcohol. We're having a party. We have it's a grand old time.
Yeah.
This goes on for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Then I get a notice. Summon me. The dean is summoning me to their office.
Yes. Her office. The dean of students.
Dean of students.
Jane Newman.
Jane Newman is who's probably dead by now. Rest in peace. You know. While she's alive, she's gonna call up and say, "Oh, yeah. I'm not dead yet."
Anyway, we have some tape of her too. We'll be playing in the next few weeks.
But anyway, so I go down there. I walk in there with my Hawaiian shorts and Hawaiian shirt and my long Bon Jovi hair, and she sits me down and she goes, "Mr. Masters, I might understand you were running a nightclub establishment out of your dorm room." I said, "Yes." She goes, "You have 24 hours to get all the alcohol off campus, or you're out of here." So she basically decided to boot us out of school. So we had 24 hours. We had to evacuate the premises, dump everything. You know, so that was the end of our little bar venture.
It was amazing that we actually, I mean, it was one of those things that was so audacious. We actually got away with it for a while.
It's highly illegal.
People come into our room, "Hey, welcome to the bar." Yeah. You know, they paid for alcohol. It was amazing. So we actually got away with that for a while.
It was a different time back then because you could basically call a liquor store. This is for you youths out there listening.
This is amazing.
You could actually call a liquor store and they go, "I'd like a bottle of Jack Daniels and a case of Bud," right? And they go, "Okay, be right over." And you hear a knock on your door an hour later, and there's a guy. No ID, no nothing. "Oh, you look old enough. Here you go. Drink up.
I don't think that. I think that was. Did you actually witness that? I think that was early
80s.
No.
My freshman year, which year before you got there, was the last year
that was going on.
That was going on.
I mean, just imagine. People must think if they hear something like that's an exaggeration. That like in one of these 80s movies, you'd be like, "Hey, give me a bottle of Jack Daniels, a bottle of vodka," you know. And the guy comes to your door. You're like 16 years old. He hands it over to you.
Yeah, right.
It was real. There was everything was different back then.
Well, dude, I had some horrible experiences with that, man. After that night when I ordered that beer, and I never drank like that again afterwards.
Yeah.
But I got so sick that night that I was sitting on the toilet. You know, I went to sit down because I thought I had to like get sick.
Yeah.
But you ever had that point where you get sick, you don't know what side it's going to come out of? So I'm sitting there, right? And I pass out. Like I couldn't get up.
Really?
Like I have my pants around my knees. And I'm leaning against the side of the stall, and I can't get up. I can't get. And the next thing I know, I wake up like hours later, all I see is like eyeballs, eyeballs peering over the top of the stall. Eyeballs peering in the side crack of the door, and like dude, you've been in here for hours. You got to get up. I'm like, I can't move. And then they start laughing. "Look at the size of your ass. It's huge." You know, because I was a lot heavier in a bad way back then. And it's like, so finally, I don't know how I did it, but I think they pulled me to my feet. And I'm walking around with my pants down. And it was like, you know,
oh, man.
And I was so sick that the next day I got up and I was still drunk. 8 hours later the next day when I woke up, I was throwing up and it was horrible. I couldn't do it anymore. So that was the end of me ordering alcohol to the room.
That's awesome.
It was a terrible experience, man. Very humiliating.
Yeah. All right. But, coming up on the show. We're going to be having you have some gifts. We have the gifts.
Presentation of the gifts.
And we have the analysis of many things and lots of great stuff coming up. And yes, you free listeners are still with us right now.
Yeah, I have not pushed
and,
the button.
And we are going to be dumping you at some point, probably soon, but we may let you. This is the first show. You want to let the people stay for a little while longer.
A little longer,
that's it. The free listeners all over the internet are able to hear this, but we're going to be switching to the premium-only listeners soon. So be warned. Be warned.
That's right.
We are back. We're back. Here we are.
Back. Where were we?
Well, what I want to say is this is, of course, the Anything But Monday show. And the website of the Anything But Monday show is abmshow.com. And let's go there right now, shall we?
Yeah.
Are you on there? Yes, you're on there. No, you can't. We're still in beta at this moment. But by the time people hear this, we're going to be going.
abmshow.com.
Yes, you go to abmshow.com.
And what can happen when you go to the abmshow.com?
Well, there's so many wonderful things that can happen at abmshow.com. First of all, when you go on there, you'll see a link which says premium subscription. This is the most important thing to remember.
Yeah.
Right? Because the button is getting ready. The button is being primed. Our button is going to be pressed soon. And once the button is pressed, all of you free listeners are going to be dumped from the stream. And only the premium people will be left.
That's correct.
Yes. So you need to know about the premium subscription. It is $7.99 a month currently. Of course.
What do people get for $7.99 a month? Because, you know, these people could take their $7.99 and perhaps spend it on a crappy movie that they can watch one time and be done with it.
Exactly.
You know, they can do that.
What you're going to get is every single episode of Anything But Monday in its entirety.
Ever?
What do you mean? Every time a show comes out, you'll get it.
Does that include the Celestial episodes of Anything Monday?
Well, those, I have to convert the format of those. Those are on a tape that doesn't exist in this reality yet. So
we do have the ability to time travel, though, to get them, don't we?
Yeah, but I think they invented it in like 2490, and then they lost it again in 2495. So we have to hit that spot exactly.
And with gas prices the way they are, we're never getting there and back.
Gas prices in 2490, forget it.
Exactly how much fuel does a time machine use to go from here to 2490 and back?
And, you know, what's funny, you would think that like to go to 2490 would be a lot less than going to, say, like the year 9000, but it's just not true.
Why is that?
The contours of the continuum are such that...
It's time for another episode of Frank Nora, but
the contours of the continuum are such that different dates can be different fuel levels. But anyway, yes. So you get this... So basically, the idea is that we're doing this show as a premium subscription, and you're going to get the free part, which you're hearing now, for free. Everyone on the internet can hear this. If you go to abmshow.com, right on the front page is a free preview. You can start playing it in your Flash player. And
Frank, what is a Flash player?
A Flash player is using a technology called Flash. I think it used to be Macromedia. Now I think it's Adobe Flash.
I don't know what these terms mean, Frank. You know, I don't know. You don't know what you're talking about.
The show. And then from there, you can enter the free area. And I'll enter that right now myself by clicking enter free. Entering the free area, you get all of you get the blog, you get the more details on the preview. You get news, history, you get all sorts of stuff like that.
What about the forum?
I was just about to get to the forum, and there is a forum. If you hit enter forum, you can go into the forum, and whether you're signed up or not, you can go in there and post and in the public area. But if you become a premium subscriber, you can go into the members-only area and post and read a lot of great stuff.
Members only?
Yes.
Is that where they had those bad clothing from the 1970s?
Yes. I had a members only jacket myself. Yes, I absolutely did. And then you can enter, of course, your premium area, and that's where you get the full show. The only place you can get the full show is the premium area. You sign up with PayPal. You determine your username and password. Now, you're going to have to remember that because you're going to have to type that in sometimes to get the show.
And after you do that, you just forget about it. You never have to worry about it again because automatically the show is debited from your credit card. And it's such an insignificant amount every month, you won't even notice it.
You sign up via PayPal. It's automatic subscription. You can cancel anytime.
No. I
know people are like very suspicious of this kind of stuff. Once you sign up, there's a button right there in your member information. You can cancel anytime. Of course, you will not want to cancel. Once you start hearing the show, you will not want to cancel anytime.
Unfortunately, the button doesn't work when you push it. But
not to be confused with our button to get rid of you free people, which is going to be pressed very soon. So basically, that's it. So you can hear the free show up to a certain point, and
your credit card will be charged indefinitely.
And this show is going to be coming out once a week, every Monday, of course. Anything But Monday comes out on Monday.
These people, I don't understand. They spend more in finance charge on their credit card every month.
Exactly.
What is $7.99?
I think people spend a lot more than that.
That's what I'm saying.
The average American is in how much debt?
You get how many songs you get from iTunes? You get what, 8 songs?
Yeah.
For that, for $7.99?
8 songs.
And the music today is, as you know, not even on the level of, let's say, like a Tiffany.
No, absolutely not. I Think We're Alone Now. That's a great song. Come on.
Oh, my God. I saw that at the gym the other day. They had the gym, you know, version of MTV. I was horrified. I was standing there. I cannot believe people spent money on this Tiffany woman.
Yeah.
I can't. It was like she must be laughing all the way to the bank someplace right now that people actually bought into that crap. It's the most horrible, horrific crap you could ever possibly listen to.
Did she make it on Surreal Life yet? I don't know.
She probably did.
She definitely should.
Yeah. Anyway.
But anyway, so you come into the free area of the site. You get news, information, all of the free shows. For example, you can see Mad Mike Masters back in 1986 buying some cereal in the cereal aisle. Let's see if we can get a little. Here he is.
Let's see, what is Iggy like?
This is all like the bizarre cereals from back then.
Cookie Chris.
Yeah, right. You can actually see this for free on the site.
Oh, new one. Nerds.
Nerd cereal. So that's one example. You can also see all the covers of our old Anything But Monday magazine. And we're going to continue to add more history, more news posts, and anything that happens with the show. Of course, we're just starting off now, but we're expecting to get lots of press coverage, okay? Lots of major deals going on.
There'll be press coverage.
Yes, there's going to be a lot of stuff.
There'll be plenty of press coverage, Jan.
You got to remember, we have come off a week, this roller coaster week. Wait, where's the sound effect? This absolute roller coaster week of putting together the studio, trying to come up with the technology, putting everything together.
This is state of the art in terms of podcasting. We spared no expense. It is actually a company Anything but Monday Show LLC.
LLC, yeah.
Official.
Whatever happened to Inc.? I don't understand. Why can't we be incorporated?
I don't know what that is. But
LLC.
But anyway, the official address of the Anything but Monday Show, if you'd like to mail us something.
You can mail us stuff.
Because we're going to be mailing you stuff. If you become a member, and you will become, we call our premium members Vanguards.
Well, let me tell you what the idea is. The idea is that when you sign up, you will be able to get the show, the premium show. And if you want to help us out, if you want to sort of help us promote the show, you can sign up to get, we'll send things out, promotional materials, stickers, t-shirts, things like that, if you want to help us out. And if you're on that list, if you're on the list to help us out, we will be sending out all sorts of random crap, all sorts of different things that we have around the studio. Already, the Anything But Monday studio, like an hour in, is completely, like, full of crap.
Right.
Right? We're going to need to box this stuff up and send it out to you people.
Right. And that's why we've also created the incredible, the amazing, the fabulous Box O' Cash promotion.
Yes.
Now, Box O' Cash promotion is still hung up in a little bit of legal red tape right now.
Essentially, it's illegal. That's the bottom line. The Box O' Cash promotion is technically illegal.
Which never stopped anything we did in the past. However, since we now have families involved, we have to be careful a little bit. But we're working with the Gaming Commission, New Jersey Gaming Commission,
yes.
The Mafia, right away to get this thing taken care of. And as soon as we get it straightened out, we'll have our license. And the Box O' Cash promotion is going to be every month, we'll box up some cash of a random amount.
Yeah.
It could be anywhere from $1 million to $0, our choice.
Right? Yes.
But, there'll be some money in the box. You will get money that just shows up on your doorstep for doing nothing, for just simply being a member.
Exactly.
Believe me, this is not going to be cheap. The more members we get, what the hell is that?
That's the cash register?
It sounds like somebody humping in a bad spring bed.
I was trying to get the cash register sound effect.
All right. But anyway, you'll get money just coming to you out of nowhere. Like you can come home one day and go, hey, look at this, a box, right? And open up the box, and it'll be money just from us, random money.
Hold on, a roller coaster
will deliver it to you.
No.
What are you doing?
This is what's going to happen. You're going to open the mail, and this is, yes, you hit the jackpot. You're going to be getting a lot of money, or a little bit, depending on what we want to put in there.
But I'm planning on spending a lot of money
on this. Box of cash promotion.
Box of cash.
Technically
promotion.
Illegal so far, but we're working
in all 50 states.
We're working in all 50 states. We have lawyers in all 50 states.
It's working on it right now.
And the District of Columbia in Puerto Rico.
But there is no. I don't want to send the Puerto Ricans anything.
Frank. Okay.
But anyway, random.
Well, that's a lot of money here we're giving out.
Can we turn that off? Oh, thank you. Racket. So random crap promotion is going to be, that's not illegal. We can box up anything we want and mail it to you anytime. As long as it's not a bomb.
It's going to help promote the show. I mean, you can tell your friends and family, look what I got from the Anything But Monday show. They sent me
like a
half-eaten pretzel, something like that. Like if we eat a pretzel in here, we don't like it, we'll throw it in a box and mail it to you. And that will help promote the show.
Right.
Because, you'll be bragging that you have this pretzel with a little bit of Mike and Frank saliva on it, whatever.
And we'll send stuff out to you with our signatures on it. We'll do all kinds of crazy things. It may be a special mission you have to go on.
I see something right now that maybe we can send out.
What?
The Star Magazine, once we're done with that.
Yes.
We can mail that out to someone.
I'm sure people really want that.
Yeah, they want the Star Magazine. Come on.
But anyway, to give you our mailing address. Our mailing address for the show.
You can actually mail things to us.
Which actually will be on the website. But it is 759 Bloomfield Avenue, number 326, Suite 236, or number 326, West Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006, right down the road from our old offices.
Yeah.
Of Anything But Monday, where Frank used to sleep many a night.
Yeah.
He doubled as Frank's apartment from time to time.
I found the video of my birthday when I turned. I turned 20, I think, or 21.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I turned 21, and Mike is hurling D-sized batteries at me and just bashing me. And it's all on tape, so it's proven. I'm going to be putting that tape online.
I was a lot more angry back then.
I mean, you cannot believe it's my birthday. This guy is like, okay, come on. He's like, he goes in his drawer, reaches for batteries, starts throwing them at me. It was terrible. Yeah. It was very painful. Talk about those pins being painful. You throwing batteries at me was very painful.
Was fucking with me. I don't know why.
Listen, so also you can leave us a voice message. We want to hear from you.
Right. We have the official ABM show phone number.
Yes. For those of you who want to use a real world phone number, this is a phone number based in New Jersey, and calling it will incur any charges. It's a normal phone number. It goes into our Skype.
It's a toll-free number.
It's not toll-free. Listen, do I need to get my lawyer in here? We need a lawyer in the corner. I mean, it is not toll-free. There may be a toll incurred if you use a regular phone.
Oh,
or if you're calling from, you know, like the Netherlands or something, it may cost a few bucks.
Okay. If you're calling from the Netherlands, please do so with a translator so we know what the hell you're saying.
Yes.
You know, don't call it on the phone.
That, we do have a lot of listeners in the Netherlands.
Okay. So here's the phone number, 973-685-6400.
Yes, we got a very official number.
973-685-6400.
Yes.
Leave a message. Call the ABM show.
And, of course, if you're on Skype, which most of you probably have Skype or can get on Skype, of course, that is toll-free. That is completely free. If you're on Skype, just Skype to ABM show. .com. Just ABM show.
Okay.
Our name on Skype is ABM show. ABM SHOW.
So send
us a message. We will greatly appreciate it.
All of this will be on the website. And look,
a lot of information.
Here's the thing.
There's a lot of information. We're experiencing information overload at this point. You know
why?
My head is spinning at this point. What are we trying to say here?
This is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Before we dump these people.
Yes.
Because in a minute, we're going to get to the sharing of the gifts, which we have.
I got you some great stuff. I can't wait to see.
I bet you my stuff's better.
Listen, I can't wait. I can't wait to see how Mike likes the stuff.
The stuff I got you is better.
I got Mike some great presents.
I got Frank some great things, so I'm going to be giving him the gifts. What's also coming up is, and what you're going to miss if you don't pay, is that our minority program director, Dave Crump, has basically come up with some great interviews for us for our first show.
Yes.
And in a moment, they'll be joining us. And I don't know what the interview is because he's going to let me know. I'm going to get the facts in a minute and I will look and see what he has come up with. So it's a big surprise. We're really excited about what he's worked so many weeks to find the best talent he could possibly do
great,
put on the show.
Great interviews on the show, of course.
And they're going to be Skyping in.
We're going to be Skyping in from California.
California. Now, for those of you that don't know about California.
California is at least 600 miles away from New Jersey, and that's a long distance.
For those of you that don't know where California is.
What are you saying? It's longer than that?
For those of you that are not familiar with California, California is a state in the United States. On the west,
it's almost like its own country. It's very large. It's
definitely got aliens living there. That's for sure. I've been to California, so anyway, they'll be Skyping in from California. It'll be a very interesting interview. I can't wait to see what our program director has lined up for us.
So there's a lot of great stuff coming. I have to prime the button now.
Okay,
all of you listening for free, the free ride is over.
Yeah,
and you will not be able to hear the rest of the show.
Just look, we love you, but just don't be cheap bastards. Okay?
I'm gonna start priming it here.
Prime it up. It's a few bucks. Do it.
Hold on.
Do it. Do it.
I'm trying to get the system ready here.
What's the matter?
Hold on, the button's not working.
Why isn't it working? We can't dump them. We're stuck. With these freeloaders.
This mechanism dumps people off the feed. Oh, hold on. We're almost there.
Nice having you.
All right, everyone listening for free. We would love to have you. All of you lovely people.
And become part of
our wonderful
Anything But Monday community that's going to be taking the internet by storm. Be a part of history. The first.
All right, it's ready. Okay. So all of you, please join the premium subscription. And if you do that, you will be able to go in and get the same show you're listening to now, but the entire show. Here we go.
Remember, first podcast worth paying for.
You want to do like a countdown or something? I'm going to turn the music off. We got to do it. This is the first time we're doing this.
This is...
All right, Mike, you do the countdown. I have the button ready to go.
From what? Countdown from
what? From three.
Three?
Yeah.
Two?
Yeah.
One? And the end of the first...
I feel so much better now.
Oof, got rid of those people.
Oh, fuck it. No, no, come on. Those people are very nice.
Those bastards,
are people. Now, look, we are now in a different world.
Look, these people are commies.
Okay.
They're commies.
These people, they want everything for free. Yes.
I mean, free my ass. What's free? What is free in society?
You have to remember, all of our listeners started off on the free feed.
Yes, they did.
Unless those with the most foresight, they went on the site and they said, look, I'm going to skip the free thing, get the premium.
Right.
But everyone else, they started off on that side.
Right.
But now we are only talking to the people
of taste,
paid the money.
People with taste.
Thank you so much.
People with taste, character, intelligence. Yes.
You people rule. You people rock.
You're not. It's amazing. And yes. I know $7.99. I know it's a lot of money.
The way the U.S. dollar is, the people over in Europe are probably going to get the equivalent is probably like 50 cents.
That'll be 1 euro.
It'll be like 1 euro, like 25 euro cents.
You know,
the freaking dollar is so weak these days.
Are they still using lira?
A lira. No, the lira is done.
You know,
that's a collector's item now. The only country that still has his own currency is England with the pound.
The pound.
Everything else is a euro.
He's hanging on to the pound.
Yeah, huh? They hang on to the pound for a little while. Everything else is a euro now.
All right. Well, it's getting close to a time we have to take a break. Our interviews are coming. We didn't really get a chance to do the gifts yet. We got to do the gifts. We'll get to the gifts, but we have to take a break at this moment and come back with this amazing interview.
Yes, time for an interview
that I just don't know.
But I have these gifts in this box here.
I have great stuff.
I know.
Have great stuff as well. So just hang out. People are going to be here, and we'll be able to pass this on to you, and that'll be great. So let's come right back with our program director, Dave Crump, coming in from California with our first interview, which I can't wait to hear about.
From my room, I can see coyotes on the boulevard.
All right, we're back. Yes. All right, Mike, we have...
I think we have our first guest feature lined up.
Yes.
And our program director, who from California.
Yes, we're calling all the way out to the other coast,
Dave
California.
Dave Crump is on the line here. I've just been handed the sheet of our first interview, and the guest feature that he has come up with for our first show is actually... Two bimbos Dave met at the gym.
What? I thought he was Dave. I thought you were working on getting like great guests. You're out there in Hollywood. You were going to be finding celebrities and what? So what happened?
Well, this is the best I could come up with. I had kind of a short notice.
Two girls you met at the gym.
So I'll work on those other things for future shows.
Now, Dave, you are in fact a minority. Is that correct?
That is true. I am African American.
You're African American. So are you going to blame this one on the man or something now?
Yes, the man is always keeping me down, and you guys are always griping, and you're paying me nothing. And I think that you should just sort of accept what I've come up with.
You couldn't even
roll with it.
You couldn't even find like some has-been celebrity for us or something, like some obscure like surreal life person. Come on.
You mean like Bob Denver?
Bob
Denver's dead.
Well, that doesn't mean,
Larry Storch.
How about Bob Denver's cousin?
Yeah, you could have done that.
Oh, Bob Denver's Gilligan. John Denver is the other guy.
No.
Yeah, they're both dead.
I think this is just reverse prejudice is what it is, actually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you remember last week when you called me a belligerent Triscuit? You remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah.
What is that? What kind of a term? I never heard that term.
You remember that one?
The Triscuit, like a cracker.
Cracker. See? There it is. See? Yeah, it comes out. It always comes out.
You know, the racial tension in this country never subsides. You know, it just keeps going year after year. You'd think it would just subside eventually.
It's deep down in the roots of this country.
Yes. So we should. So Dave, you are our program director, right?
Yes, I am.
Right.
So what do you think of the show so far?
Yes. It's all that I expected. It's an amazing program. I'm sure the listeners are going to enjoy it.
And
I'm happy to be a part of it.
Great.
Can you start paying me now?
Okay. So now let us start the interview process.
All right.
Dave, if you can tell us who we have on the line for our great interview. Straight from California. Yeah. We, of course, are here in New Jersey. We are communicating with California.
We have two lovely Southern California ladies. Who possess many of the qualities that people associate with bimbosity. Tawny and Aaron.
Tawny and Aaron. And,
they're going to be our first guest.
So
hello, Tawny and Aaron.
I was going to say hello, two bimbos they met at the gym.
Okay.
Actually.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Great.
Hi.
Great. All right. Look, it says here, let me go to bimbo number one.
Which one is bimbo number one?
That's Aaron.
Aaron, okay.
Okay, so bimbo number one is Aaron. She's 33. She's single. She's a hairstylist who describes herself as loud and has big fake boobs. So are you originally from New Jersey or something?
I'm originally from California.
Because everybody in New Jersey is like that.
I'm true to my state.
See, everybody in New Jersey is like that. They're loud, they're hairstylists, and they have big fake boobs. It's all of New Jersey is like that. Did Dave tell you that? So
do they have blonde hair like me too?
Yeah. What did you say?
I said, do they have blonde hair like me too?
Blonde hair? No.
So Aaron, you're like sort of the quintessential California girl.
That's what you're sweet ass.
Yes.
I am.
Wow.
You're sweet, and you say you drive a motorcycle and you like to burp and fart. Is that correct?
I sounds like I've ever talked to a California girl before.
Yeah. You know what?
Wow.
When the situation calls, yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So and guys like this.
Well,
is that how you,
I share that for special guys.
Is that how you attract a Dave to him? You came by and you just were...
I can either use it to attract one or get rid of him. It depends on what the situation calls for.
So, Dave, what exactly do you promise these women to be on the show, if I may ask?
Come again?
I said, I'm like, Dave, what exactly did you promise these women to be on the show?
I promised them an Anything But Monday show tote bag filled with prizes and also the home version of our show.
Great.
We
got to work on the home version of it. I forgot about that.
The home version of our show, yeah. And a tote bag. Great. Okay.
It'll be like two toy microphones. Now,
actually, you know what? I'm just trying to figure this out, because before I get to bimbo number two, which is Tawny, you know, you don't often see bimbos loose in the wild like this.
Yeah.
They're usually in captivity. So would you consider yourselves tame, the both of you? Let's go with bimbo number one.
Depends on how much alcohol I've had.
All right, we get to the alcohol right away. So bimbo number two is Tawny. You're 29, you're single, and there's always the very vague sales rep, which I want to know what she's selling. And she describes herself as very energetic, outgoing, and very enthusiastic. And she also has a problem with Tourette's syndrome, it says here.
Really? Can you demonstrate that?
Can you explain why people
or something? Can you curse or
why do people think you have like some kind of like, you know, uncontrollable spasms or something like that? What's going on with that? You want to explain that?
Well, I really like to dance and I really like to just have fun.
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, we're in California and you have to have fun here because the weather's so nice all the time and it's just, that's what we do here. I was at a concert one time and I was having a little bit too much fun, I guess. And the people next to me asked my friends if I was a special needs person, if I was retarded. So I guess I was having too much fun dancing, and that's why.
Wait, no, can we say retarded, or is that?
Yeah,
you can say retarded.
You're mentally
retarded. Now I have a question for both Aaron and Tawny. Of course, everyone knows California as all the celebrities. Now, do you have any good celebrity encounters? Encounters with actual celebrities? I'm sure you must have crossed paths with some of these people at some time. I hear dead air. Do I need the cricket sound effect again?
So,
all right. All right, we'll start with Aaron. Any celebrity encounters?
Aaron has gone.
I didn't want to tell this story, but have a run-in with Jamie Foxx at the Sky Bar in Hollywood.
Jamie Foxx. Okay.
Jamie Foxx.
All right, tell us about...
Actually, I ran right into his bouncer, or what do you call those big, strong men that protect the famous stars?
Goons.
Yeah, the guy had to take me down. I was so excited to see him. I tried to hop over him.
Gamorrean guards.
Gamorrean guards. So
I'm so surprised though, because I mean, I thought he'd be pretty excited to see me. I'm a good-looking woman, and
I can vouch for that.
There's nothing wrong with me chasing him down, right? Screaming his name. I mean, I thought he'd be excited to see me.
And what exactly happened?
I'm a good person to be excited to see.
So you didn't get through the security barrier?
Oh my God, the dude was so huge, I almost knocked myself out running into him.
Wow.
No. Didn't happen.
Well, thankfully, I've actually created a website for Huge Dudes called HugeDudes.com. It's one of my brilliant ideas.
HugeDudes.com?
All Huge Dudes can go there for all their Huge Dudes needs.
Is that a real site, or did you register?
No, I just made that up. Right,
so someone's going to register it now, and we're going to miss the boat again. And all our brilliant ideas, anything we come up with,
but
we never do anything with, and then someone else does it and makes $1 million off of it.
Well, this is the Anything Monday show is all about. We're going to make money.
Yeah. So any more celebrity encounters? Tawny, anything? Celebrities?
Tawny, anything?
Well, when I was up in Santa Monica, I saw Goldie Hawn and Ooh. Kurt Russell.
Really?
Very nice.
What were they doing?
They were shopping. It was pretty boring, but I followed them, and I think they got a little bit freaked out, because I think I followed them a little too long.
I'm sure they get that a lot. They're very, very, very famous.
Tawny, what Tawny likes to tell you, she actually saw them on the cover of a magazine.
Okay.
I got it.
Someone had the magazine. She was following that person around.
I don't want to be mean, but Tawny, just hearing you talk makes me laugh. I can't help it. I just love the,
why?
Why would that be, Dave? I don't know where that would be.
Well, I didn't catch that. What?
I don't understand why just hearing Tony speak would make me laugh, but it just does.
Yeah, that's her real voice.
I know that. You can't make that stuff up. Well, you can, but in this case, we're not.
She's just very bubbly and effervescent and kind of like ginger ale.
Yeah. Now, I have another question, for both of you. Aaron, first, you hear about a lot of these like crazy parties out in California. What was sort of the craziest party situation you've been in out there? In California.
Crazy party situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it started out as a toga party, but by the end of the night, there weren't many togas left. I think we were swinging from them.
Now, what kind of, is this like younger people, older people, famous people? Like, what kind of crowd is there doing this naked toga party?
So there's definitely a mix of us doing it. Yeah. Well, not doing it, but, you know, doing it.
Now, were these actual togas?
I got to move to California, man. I'm in the wrong fucking state, man.
But were these authentic togas or were they just bed sheets that all these people at these damn toga parties, they take bed sheets and they say they're togas. You have to go to a costume store and get a real toga, damn it.
Well, we definitely had our Oscar moment togas, and then we had our, you know, Ross Marshall's togas.
Now, were you wearing the toga? What actually happened in this party?
Yeah, what happened?
Well, yeah, I was. In the beginning of the evening, by the end of the evening, I.
Now, what kind of setting is this? Is this someone's house? Like, where is this? Where there's a bunch of naked people?
It was at a big house with a nice big pool that we all ended up in.
What are we doing here in New Jersey?
What is this, like random nudity?
What are we doing here? Let's move out there. Come on. We can record the show out there.
You guys are missing out on some great parties.
Yeah?
We need to do the show out here, guys.
I know.
Dave, you told them how attractive we are, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, come on.
Did you tell him that?
I played it up a little bit, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Do not go to abmshow.com. Do not go to abmshow.com, girls. Please, do not go to that site.
Are you guys married?
Yes, we are both married.
Now, Tony, do you have any party experiences? Who are we talking? We were talking to Aaron before, right? Partying, crazy California party.
Tony, can you spell the word party?
One party, beach party that we went to.
Mm-hmm. A beach party.
It turns out that the beach party was at a naked beach.
Really?
Wait, why is everything end up naked?
This is like,
is California an entirely nude state now?
No one is naked in New Jersey. Everyone's wearing tons of clothes, even in the summer. What is going on?
So continue, please.
Continue, yes.
Continue.
What happened on the nude beach?
I didn't go too crazy, but it was a little bit of a surprise coming to the beach and seeing, not too many bathing suits there.
I got that. So, Tony, it says here that you tried to reheat a pizza in a conventional oven by putting the entire pizza box in the oven. Is that true?
Yes. And I still don't think anything would have happened. What's the big deal? You put a cardboard box
perhaps,
in the oven.
Perhaps you're not. You're not. Let me just enlighten you with the laws of physics about. There's a thing called Fahrenheit 451.
Yes.
So at 451 degrees, things have a tendency to catch fire.
And the government starts to ban books and throw people in jail and all sorts of terrible things.
So don't do that again.
But what would have happened?
Like, I got yelled at for it, but I would do it again.
Well, yeah, but Mike, what's the problem? It's a fire, but it's inside an oven. Isn't it insulated? The fire would burn. All of the cardboard would burn.
Right.
What's going to burn? An oven is not flammable by definition because it's very hot inside already.
I take that back, Tony. I stand corrected.
You would have had a bit of a crispy pizza, but Tony, I support that concept. I think you had the right idea.
Jesus
of course, Christ. All of you kids listening, do not try this at home. Only professionals try that, please.
I was right.
Yes, you were correct, but we don't want to encourage anyone. The lawyer in the corner is telling us the ixnay on the oven A, okay?
So we got.
I don't think Tony did a lot of study in the thermodynamics area.
Okay, so Tony, who did you?
That's the boring stuff. Who needs to know that?
Yeah, tell us something exciting about you. Tell us something surprising or shocking about yourself. Like so shockingly outrageous. No one knows your last name. They're never going to find you because everybody like
completely
you.
Anonymous. There will not be voice print analysis online on Google in 10 years. No, there will not be.
Okay. So tell us something surprising or shocking about yourself. I think it's surprising or shocking that she actually understands the question.
Yeah.
So could you please could you please tell us something surprising or shocking about yourself that you'd like to share?
This is going to take me a couple minutes because I had a night last night and...
I did too.
Did you have a knight? You mean like a guy in armor? Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I had, yeah.
you with a knight, like a guy in armor, that kind of knight?
No, silly.
Maybe it was one of the Knights Templar from the Da Vinci Code.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, man. You're such a freaking geek, man.
Knights Templar.
They're the keeper of the Holy Grail from the Da Vinci Code.
Tony, I don't even know what he's saying half the time. Anyway, so don't worry about it.
It's a bestseller. Da Vinci Code was a bestseller.
If Dave didn't fill you in, Tony, Frank is like the nerd, and I'm the cool, good-looking guy of the two.
Yes.
Okay, totally lost.
Well, you're totally lost. All right.
Now, any special talents, Aaron? Any special talents that you have? Are you very good at anything?
Special talents?
Yeah, yes. Special talents.
Special talents.
What are you good at? What are you good at, Tony?
Like archery or anything like that?
I'm like, do I have any special talents?
Is this Tony or Aaron?
Is this Aaron.
Terrible guess.
Is this Bimbo number one speaking or Bimbo number two?
And so, no, any talent, any, you know, like...
I think we have to do like a dating game.
Okay.
Okay. So, do you two remember the dating game, or you just before you were born?
Vaguely. Like it's in the butt, Bob.
What?
It's in the butt, Bob.
That may have been the newlywed game, but yes, that was.
This is not the newlywed game. This is the dating game.
No, but that quote was, you know, where's the strangest place you ever made whoopee?
Oh, I remember that
In
one.
The butt, Bob. That in was the big, in I think the it butt. Was, I believe it was the newlywed game, yes.
That was the newlywed game. But this is the dating game.
Now are we going to use the word whoopee instead of sex for our interview here?
No. So the dating game would be like, yeah, there'd be, I don't know if you remember the dating game, but just to review, because most of our listeners don't even know what the dating game was. There would be a single bachelor or bachelorette on one side of a wall. And on the other side of the wall will be three eligible bachelors.
So who's the third one, Dave? Is it going to be the third Bimbo?
No, we're not playing the game.
You need three. The dating game has three. We can't adapt it to have two. It needs three.
I'm just asking questions. I'm just saying the format is going
to
be similar.
You're not getting it. The dating game is one person, that's you, and then three other people. Frank, so you have to ask those.
Let me say something to you. let me say something to you.
Yes.
These people have lives. They have nothing better. They have many better things to be doing on a Saturday than talk to us. So
if you want to malign
time.
The history of the dating game by changing the number of people, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Oh, forget it. Let's drop
ask,
that.
Ask the question.
I want to know last question we asked was Aaron and Tawny. Do you have any special talents, either collectively or individually? Special talents. What can you do?
So you're asking me that question again?
Yeah, I didn't hear what the talent was. So what talent do you have, Aaron? I think Bimbo number one has a special talent to talk about. What exactly is your special talent, Aaron?
Which one?
The first one.
The first one that pops into your mind.
Whatever comes to mind.
Whatever comes to mind?
Yeah.
Like crocheting, anything like that.
Macrame,
paper mache, anything that you know how to
like
do
the
well.
The fact that I can pop a wheelie on my motorcycle, would that be considered a special talent?
Yes. What can she do on her motorcycle?
Now, what kind of motorcycle do you have?
I have a Ninja.
A Ninja. That's a Toyota? Toyota Ninja?
Kawasaki, yeah.
Kawasaki aftermarket. And is that safe, you think? Do you think it's dangerous? Or what do you think about that?
Well, yeah.
Let me ask you, you're in California. Did you ever do the Top Gun thing when you were driving the motorcycle real fast next to, like, Fighter Town, USA? Did you ever do that?
Fighter Town, USA?
I forget it, Dave.
I'm like, what?
There was a movie called Top Gun. Remember Top Gun? No.
Mike, may I ask
a
question?
Way faster than me.
So Aaron, how long have you been riding the motorcycle? Is it something that you've been doing all your life, or something you got into recently? How does that work?
About 7 years.
And when you first got it, had you ridden with someone else, or how did you get into the whole motorcycle thing?
No, I pretty much got one of my friends. I went and picked it out because it was really cool looking. It was black and it's purple and teal. And
wow.
It was super hot.
Sounds like a heck of a lot of fun.
So I had one of my friends go ride it home for me.
Yeah.
And then I learned how to ride it.
Right.
I pretty much just ride the bus to New York City, and that's not as daring. Well, sometimes it is. There's a lot of psychos on the bus.
You understand, because I saw this bike, and it was so cool, and it was really awesome looking, and I just had to have it, because I thought I'd look good on it.
Aaron, when you're speaking once in a while, can you throw a few for sure's in there while you're at it, like some Valley Girl speak? Can you do some of that?
For sure.
Yeah, there you go.
It is, whatever.
Now, is that a real accent out there, or is that just a...
What are you talking about? Tony has that accent. What are you talking about? Go ahead, Tony, say something again. Say, like, gag me with the spoon.
I totally thought of a talent that I have.
Okay, Tony's talent. Here is Tony's talent. Go ahead.
I can do yoga.
Now, what does that mean? You can sort of bend yourself in a pretzel shape? Is that how that works? Or how does that actually work?
Rectamundo.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I'm totally good at it too, and I like to do it.
Now,
it's good for you.
Now, can you like you know that guy Dalsim? Can you do like the yoga? can you do the yoga fire and the yoga flame? Or
Frankie's making
this. Yeah.
Yoga fire. You can do that one, or yoga flame. Can you? You just like it's basically you spit fire out of your mouth.
Can you do that
when you're fighting other fighters? You know, like Ken and Blanca.
Guys,
and Ken.
Ask Tony about her booty ballet.
Your booty ballet. So Tony,
that was this great video. It's awesome.
Is it online?
It's this video that you do, and it's yoga, and it's a workout, and it's
what's it called?
Meditation too.
And what's it called?
We all need that in our lives.
And we and you know Tony, Tony, you know what else we need? We need more people that sound like you in our lives too.
Booty, there's no one sounds like that around here.
booty ballet.
What is booty? Is it online? Can I find this booty ballet? Is this a real thing? Yeah, booty dance.
No, you can buy it. It's phenomenal.
Did you do this? You did this thing?
It's a video?
Yeah.
Are you actually doing the booty ballet in the video?
Yeah.
Do we get a copy of this? I mean, come on. You know, having you on, you're going to be famous after the show. Could you send us a copy of the booty ballet?
Is it on YouTube?
No.
I found something on YouTube that was says booty ballet.
I think we should just, you know, I think we should get copies for our wives, Frank. I'm sure they really appreciate if we gave a copy of booty ballet to your wife and I.
Is it bootyballet.com or what is that the website?
I don't know. Maybe.
I found a booty ballet.
Hi and welcome to Christine the Lobster Queen.
Okay, forget that. That doesn't seem to be the right booty ballet.
All right, let's go back to the girls.
Go back to the girls, Mike. Ask some more questions.
They have some. So did we get the special talent? We was riding your motorcycle. Was Aaron's special talent? That was the best you
it's
come up with?
It's yoga and motorcycling.
Yoga and motorcycling. Well, Tony, you know, just so you know, Tony, that you know there are millions of people that do yoga on a daily basis. Not to put you down. It's not really that special.
Yeah, but she's very, very good at it. She's like a black belt at yoga. And the good thing about it is that you can defend yourself. Like if someone attacks you, you can like just flip them over.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She can do that.
Wait a minute! I just thought of something else. Oh. I took a judo class too.
Really?
You know how to do that too.
You can like do the ultimate fighting, that kind of stuff, and just like flip people over and put them in like the holds and stuff.
Break boards.
Totally. Don't mess with me.
No. Can you like? Can you do a karate chop on a wooden board?
No, that would hurt my hand.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of comes along with the judo territory, though. Anyway.
I want to do with that karate chop thing. How do you do that?
I don't know. Have Tony come out and teach us.
Can you come and teach us how to do, like, karate chops or... like a piece of...
Sure.
Now, let me ask you a question. You know, Aaron, are you friends with Tony or you don't even know Tony?
I don't know Tony.
At all?
I think we could be good friends.
You think so, huh?
The Anything But Monday show bringing people together in California. in a land divided, we are bringing people together.
Yes. So maybe you could help her out with her pizza heating if you got together.
Now, can I ask, what area of California are you all in? Northern California, Southern California?
You have to ask that?
So is it Southern California?
SoCal, baby. I was going to say, you guys should guess.
Do you know the Ontario Mills Mall?
I've been there.
Really? I've been there too. I was just there a few months ago.
But Frank, why are you flirting with her about the mall?
No, we're bonding over the mall. I love the Ontario. There's no malls in New Jersey as big as the Ontario Mills Mall. That's a great mall.
That's great.
Isn't it great? I mean, it has all the stores and everything.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good mall.
It's a good. You know what? It is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Bimbo number one. Okay, Aaron.
Yeah.
To me and you and Frank. All right. Are the last three people on a lifeboat, and it's sinking, right? Which of the two of us do you eat first to stay alive, me or Frank?
It depends.
was that a loaded question? I don't get that.
One's hotter? Because I got to keep one around for a while.
Now wait, let's not.
Are you trying to say you eat the ugly one first? Is that what you do?
Great.
Oh, great.
Great.
I guess we could have a taste test, right?
If you have a what?
A taste test?
Oh, God. After you, look, how nasty. We're going to be pretty nasty tasting after being on a raft for that long. We're not going to taste that good. right?
I can always plug my nose.
We haven't bathed in weeks. It's going to be nasty. Tawny, same question, Tawny.
I wouldn't eat either of you. I'm a vegetarian.
Thank you. Oh, I am too. Yes. You know,
You
know, I am also a vegetarian, so I agree.
This is like kismet. It's unbelievable.
I agree completely with that. I've been a vegetarian since 1987.
So, Tawny wasn't even born in 1987.
Well, so for her entire life, I have been vegetarian.
So let me ask you a question, Tawny. So you're so principled about your vegetarianism that you'd rather die than eat, like, human flesh to live.
Yeah, ew. Why would you? Ew. I could never eat. Ew.
Yeah,
no.
That's nasty. Yeah. That's nasty, Mike.
Okay, well,
very nasty.
Well, they do that, though. You read stories about that all the time. People getting caught on life rafts and having to eat each other and, you know, just live.
You hear it, but I don't think people would actually do it.
Oh, that's just in the movies?
Yeah, it's like an anachronism.
Anachronism, okay.
Yeah, that's
it's apocryphal.
Okay, well, you know, I like Aaron's answer better, actually. Thank Aaron, you win that round. That was a bet. So Aaron is one.
Okay,
who's ahead on points right now?
Do you have more questions? I have a question.
Yeah, Frank has a question. Go ahead, Frank.
All right, first, Aaron, where would you like to be in 5 years?
And don't say 34.
I was more hoping for 29. Where would I like to be in 5 years?
Yeah.
On the beach with a big Mai Tai in my hand and some hot guys dancing around me.
That really is...
Great.
That is someone who really is an upwardly mobile thinking person.
Yes.
You know, it's a good purpose to have in life. To be on the beach with a Mai Tai in 5 years with people paying, a big guy paying for everything.
What's 5 years from what year? 2010 or was it? No,
2012.
Oh, that's when the Aztec calendar runs out.
I just had to do math in this interview.
Yeah. So, Tawny, where would you like to be in 5 years?
That was Tawny.
Is that 20? No, is that Aaron? No,
that was Tawny. Aaron.
Yeah, Tawny. Where would you like to be in 5 years in 2012 when the world is supposed to end according to the Mayan calendar? But ignore that in terms of this question.
Go ahead.
That's kind of depressing.
He's depressed the girl, Frank. Go ahead.
I'd like to be here in California and I'd like to be happy and I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe find someone who makes a lot of money and will take care of me.
So you have delusions of marriage, is what we're trying to say. Okay? All right, so let me ask you, what exactly do you sell anyway? You said you're a sales rep. What do you sell? I got to hear this.
Do books and publishing right now. So.
You sell nude books? What did you just say?
What?
Would you just say you sell nude books? What do you sell?
No, not nude books, actually.
All right, but I didn't hear what you said. What exactly do you sell?
Books. I work for a publisher, so I sell different books to different stores, and I work in that area.
It's a living.
There you go.
It's a living.
It's a living.
All right. So,
it's fun. I get to meet people all day long. That's fun.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah.
She's not an encyclopedia salesman.
She's not an encyclopedia salesman.
No.
All right. Well, you know what? It's been great having you.
It's been a great interview. Who knows? We may talk to you again in the future sometime.
I've learned a lot about California, actually.
Me too. A lot of interesting things about California.
And, you know, thank you, Dave, for lining up the bimbos. It actually worked out pretty well. So
yes.
You're off the hook for now.
Absolutely. It was a great interview.
Yeah, it was quite a challenge, you know. Bimbos aren't exactly the most reliable people in the world.
No, definitely not.
I did my
best. Yeah, but they did a great job.
We are reliable.
And there'll be some nice parting gifts for both bimbos, which we will forward to you through our program director. So you will be getting some nice gifts in the mail.
Yes. Okay? Thank you very much, Aaron and Tawny. Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Thanks.
Goodbye. Yoga Fire.
Yes.
Yep.
Utilizing 20 special ability right now.
I know. Tony would be great at this game. Playing a little Street Fighter 2 here.
She actually told...
Yoga Fire.
Yoga Flame.
I like the Yoga Flame.
I have that ability.
And a little known move is the Yoga Noogie. That's when he grabs someone's head and starts bashing their head in.
Yes, yes.
Oh, Ken beat me, though. Well, there we go.
All right.
It is time.
We're back. And
it's time to celebrate.
The anniversary, the inaugural show of the actual Anything But Monday show online at the... At abmshow.com.
Yes. And
we brought gifts for each other, and I have no idea what Frank got me.
If you think about it, let's try to calculate this, right? The last Anything But Monday real enterprise ended around November of 1989. So how long ago was that now?
That was...
You're looking at your watch. It was 8,400 seconds ago.
I don't know. It was 18 years ago?
Well, but it was the end of 89. So if you have all of the 90s, how much was the 90s? Like 10 years,
How much was the 90s? Like, was it on sale?
It was a decade.
Oh, okay.
So that's 10 years. And plus, we've already had 7 years on this one. No, 8 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's been 18 years. This is the beginning of a new chapter in the Anything But Monday world.
May I say this is the new chapter in internet history? Because this is actually the first podcast worth paying for.
Yes,
and that's why this is pioneering this venture.
For some reason, I've been in podcasting from the beginning. I have a show called The Overnightscape. You can go to theovernightscape.com and listen to my show. That's actually a free show.
Actually, let's edit that out. We're not talking about The Overnightscape.
Yes, we are. We're going to mention it. I'm just mentioning. I've been in podcasting since the beginning, and no one has thought. To actually, there's very few people have actually thought to charge for a show and put the effort into it and put all of the...
They've thought about it. They just say it just can't be done. It's impossible. Yes. Cannot be done. You'll never make money in podcasting.
Yes, they say that model has fallen flat on its face.
Yeah, the reason why the model has fallen flat on its face is because most people have crap for talent.
Yes,
and that is
exactly.
The problem. So,
we're here. This is in whatever, 18 years, whatever. This is whatever we figured it out.
Right.
This is the beginning of a brand new venture.
Right.
It's a brand new studio. Mm-hmm. And had a little trouble getting into the studio last night. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
What exactly happened to that? Why was there a problem? Right. I left you the keys.
All right, we're going to have to get into this now.
I left you the keys to get in here, and what happened?
Mike, Mike left me the keys. It was under some sort of a planter or something.
Yeah, right. I'm not trying to make up the keys yet.
Okay, so last night, it was Friday night. It was after a long day at work. I had to come here to the Anything But Monday Studios to set up some like our Skype system and set a lot of stuff up so we could record today.
Right.
So... Get in my car, drive over here. It's nighttime. It's like all this snow and ice on the ground. It's freezing cold. It was like 10 degrees outside, probably like minus 15 Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm thinking, I'm coming here to where the studio is, and it's kind of like, at nighttime, there's no one around. So I figured it'd be really easy just pull up and park, get the, go into the plant to get the keys, go in, and it'll be fine. Unfortunately, things didn't go that well.
Yeah, what happened?
Okay. As soon as I pull into the parking lot, like, literally, I pull into the parking lot, my lights are still on, and as soon as I pull in, this big, like, white car from the 70s pulls in, like, right behind me.
It
looked like a giant, like an Eldorado.
Was it like the car, like the possessed demonic car?
It was a big, white, like, square, like, 70s-looking car, like something from, like, a Quentin Tarantino movie.
You mean like a Good Humor truck?
It looked like a gangster type car. I don't even know what it was.
Yeah.
Pulls up, like, literally, like, two spaces away from me in a parking lot. Like, right after I pull in, this huge car pulls in.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, holy crap. There was no one else. I thought it was going to be abandoned.
Right.
So I said, okay, I'm going to wait. And I look over, and these two guys get out, and they're by another car. They're opening the doors. They're going into the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
They're switching things between the cars. I'm like, Frank,
it's obvious. Isn't it obvious? They're pimps.
They probably were pimps.
There was a pimp wagon in our parking lot.
So I'm saying, look, I have this huge, like, Home Depot box of stuff I brought for the show.
So why were you scared of getting out of your car?
Because I figured I'm going to be carrying a box. I don't want to see them looking at me or going under the planter. I said, this is wait till these guys are gone.
What kind of guys were they?
Luckily they looked like dorky white guys. So I wasn't really very, very scared. Oh. I felt safe, but still.
If you were trying to say that if they were black guys, you'd be scared of them.
I probably would. Yeah. To be honest.
Because you're a blackophobe.
No, I think it's just when it comes to your personal safety, people use those.
people don't like to be.
No, they use these stereotypes and whatever. I don't know. Just to be honest about it,
only when it comes to your personal safety.
I wouldn't think anything ill of them. I wouldn't think anything bad of them. I just wouldn't get out of the car.
Right, I got it.
So anyway, so I'm waiting and they're futzing around. I don't know what the hell they're doing. They're going with the transferring things between the cars, and I'm sitting there. Come on.
Right.
Finally, the one guy pulls away. The other guy comes into the building. Right.
Into our building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess he works here or something. So I basically, I said, here's my chance. So I had this giant box under my arm. I'm walking across, you know, the snow and ice of this frozen parking lot at night. Go up to the little doorway there.
Mm-hmm.
Put my box down. Lift up the planter, and there are the keys that you left me. Two keys.
Yeah.
Connected by, what did you put to connect them?
Paperclip.
Okay. See, that figures into the story. They're a friggin' paperclip. Okay. So I go, and you know, because I guess I'm holding the box. I'm trying to get the door open. So I put the key in the door.
Yeah.
And I turn the key, and I start opening the door. I'm like, great, everything's great. And then all of a sudden, that friggin' paperclip, right, as I turn it, the other key flies off. Cha-ching! I'm like, what? The key flies off, okay? Now, let me describe this. It is dark out. Okay, there's barely any light. This friggin', it's by the door, it's like a little, it's like a stairs, and then there's like concrete, and it is covered all around the edges with snow and ice and dirty.
And shrubberies.
Yes, shrubberies and dirty. Completely dirty ice, dirty slush.
Yeah, why do you turn everything I give you into a debacle?
I don't know.
It's a simple thing. So, you know, I don't understand that.
So I'm like, and it was funny because I was bringing a lot of stuff over here, and I have, a huge collection of flashlights. So yeah. I said, should I bring any? I'm like, what the hell would I need a flashlight for? Mm-hmm. You know, trying to do this show. There's plenty of light in here. So yeah. I look down, and I see no key. I see nothing. And I lean down. I'm looking around. I can't even see the ground. And plus, there's mounds of ice and mounds of snow. I'm like, I'm completely screwed if I don't have this key because you weren't around. I had to get in here and do all this work.
Not to mention the fact that's the key to my office as well too.
I know.
So, great. Thanks.
So I'm scrounging down by the ground. I'm like, I need a flashlight. And meanwhile, I am on my hands and knees in this dirty ice. Right. I'm like looking on the ground. I actually use my Palm Pilot because it has a light on it. I'm like, I took my Palm Pilot out. I'm like shining it on the ground. I'm barely able to see.
I thought you had a flashlight.
No, I decided not to bring any flashlights because I didn't think I was going to need them. I didn't want to bring a lot of crap I wasn't going to need. So I'm on the ground and I'm thinking to myself, oh God, you know, what if someone sees me? Like, it looks very suspicious. I have a giant box. I'm on my hands and knees, like examining the ground. It was very aggravating. So I went back to the car to see if I had a flashlight in there. I didn't. And it was like 5-10 minutes. I had to just keep looking. I was freezing my ass off. I was out there. I was moving the snow around. I was like shoving the snow. All right.
Oh, God.
My hands were getting all dirty. My knees were getting all dirty with this dirty slush.
Yeah. And
finally, and I started. I'm like, well, I gotta call Mike wherever he is. He's got to come help me. I don't know what's going on. I need a flashlight. I'm like, maybe I'll go out and buy a flashlight. Because when I heard it fall, it was definitely to my right. Right. I heard it to my right. So I moved the planter. I'm moving everything around, trying to find it. Finally, I had almost given up. And there it is, right on the ledge, completely away from where I heard it land.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, right on the edge of the step.
Perched majestically on the edge of the step.
Like, perfectly positioned, right? There. As if someone just put it there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy crap. And I walked in, and that was the... And luckily, like, no one came out as I was, like on the ground right there.
So what happened to the guy in the limo?
They went away.
Great. Great story.
So that's the fun I had getting in here. So
yeah, people will learn and listen to the show. There'll be more of those debacles and many more of those stories as we go on because everything.
I don't know why nothing ever works out for me.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. Yeah.
But anyway, this is something that is going to work out.
Yeah, because you know, I'm taking charge of it. That's why.
Yeah. Let's have a little party music here.
A little party music.
Yes.
As we get the gifts ready.
As we were talking about, this is our brand new studio. We have a few studio warming gifts for each other. And I have, of course, neither of us has any idea what the other one got them. We have the camera ready to take pictures of these things.
All right.
The camera set up. And, Mike, I hope you really like... oh, God, there's a picture of me. I look awful.
So
you took a picture of me before. Wow.
So there'll be the analysis of many things. We'll follow this. So
basically, we're going to start off the analysis of many things with the gifts. Basically, on our show, we... Hold on. I'm getting the wrong thing. On our show... the new feature called Analysis of Many Things. We are going to analyze anything that we have, all sorts of different products, all sorts of different foods, different objects.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to kickstart it with our studio warming gifts. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I can start and give you one of mine.
If you like to.
Yeah. I got you something very exciting. Mm-hmm. What I got you was I actually went to a store, and the guy was pointing out various things. He said, this thing is very exciting. All right? It actually was a candy store. And The guy noticed that I was a big spender. I was buying tons of bizarre candies.
Yeah, you're a big spender. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello,
spender.
Sir. Hello. Yes, may I interest you in these? These are great new. They had like these giant Pez dispensers that are like 10 feet tall. You know, these giant. Like
the guy was actually an Indian guy.
Yeah, he's like an Indian guy. He's like, he's a. They have these friggin' ridiculous.
You must be having this candy.
They have these dumb. It's like a Pez dispenser, but it's literally like a foot and a half high, and it has the Death Star on it. Like that's not candy. That's like a weapon. You know, like get something with that. It's a ridiculous thing. So the guy sees I'm spending a lot. He's trying to get me to spend more. So he's like, we have many great things, and this is especially exciting. He showed me this item. He said it was especially exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my first gift to you. I hope you find it as exciting as this guy did.
Yes.
Here we go. An exciting present to start the show off. Here you go.
Oh, what the hell is that? I've seen it. This is...
It is a marshmallow hamburger.
And you bought this for me because
it's very exciting.
Because not only, no, and also because I eat this stuff every day. Because
there you go. Now, can you describe this marshmallow? What's the brand name of it?
The brand name of this is the. Oh, first of all, it's fat free.
Yes.
Multi flavors. It's got vanilla. It's got a vanilla bun, a banana cheese slice, and a chocolate burger.
It's called Burger Mallow.
Burger Mallow.
Burger Mallow.
Oh, God.
Let me get a good picture.
It's
of
made
the burger.
In Brooklyn. It's made in Brooklyn, New York.
It is a life-sized marshmallow hamburger.
And if I ate this, you immediately would go into seizures.
And there's actually an anthropomorphic hamburger character on front, reminiscent of like.
It's funny how you mention anthropomorphic hamburgers. I will get into some anthropomorphic
really
things later. But here's the number one ingredient. I'm always a big fan of reading ingredients. So here we go.
Yeah.
And this is something that all young kids should be really having in their lunchbox every day they go to school.
Yeah.
Ingredient number one, sugar.
Of course. Of course.
The second ingredient, glucose syrup.
Glucose.
Followed by glucose powder because the syrup wasn't enough. Followed by starch. Starch is an ingredient. Gelatin.
Isn't that what you put on your...
Yeah. Artificial flavors, as in British flavors and food colors, right? And it's made in China.
Made in China. Wow.
So, in essence, it has a half-life.
That was manufactured in China.
If it's made in China, why is it with the British spellings?
Can I video you for a second here?
You can video, but I am not eating this.
Hold on.
This is definitely being shipped to our listeners.
Hold on. We're going to start video. Okay. So, show us this hamburger you got here.
Here's the hamburger, you know, and
it's a Burger Mallow. It's a marshmallow hamburger. Now you're going to be eating it, or
I don't know why. You know, a better name for this burger would have been Burger Meister Burger.
Yeah.
You know, why did they come up? Why did they do that?
Look at that. That's a great product, and there's the character of Burger Mallow.
Very, very bad.
All right. So you like the present?
Let me ask you, how much does something like this run you, Frank?
You know, I have the receipt. I forget how much. These were expensive. Like I bought like 30, 40 bucks worth of candy.
And it says best before 7:30 because if you didn't need to be by then, it probably would spoil. Yeah. It would spoil.
Well, who can resist it? I mean, but it actually, yeah, there's different. You actually
spent a couple dollars on this, in fact.
It was an expensive candy store.
Great.
So on Second Avenue.
This is what you've gotten 40. Me as a present. Yes. For our first show back in 21 years.
That there's that's oh, that's the.
Do the gifts get better from here?
Yes,
It only looks up from here.
They do get better from here.
So do you want to give me? Should I give you my gift now?
I think you should give me a present now. Here, take the camera if you want.
All right, I'll give you a present. I actually went out and I really put some thought into this because really,
well, I put thought into that one.
Yeah,
marshmallow hamburger.
I actually,
what the heck is this?
Package it very special for you.
There, you better take a picture.
And I will take a picture of it.
This is a cardboard box.
Yes, a cardboard box.
And my initials FEN are done in like a black electrical tape.
Right, very creative.
FEN.
I must say. And I'm sure you'll be very surprised because
you can turn the flash on if you want. You want
to? Yeah, it actually, you know.
Wait. Do the give me
just
hit the up. No, let me give it to me for a second.
Technology.
We have all sorts of technology problems here. All right, there you go. That should work then. All right.
All right, go. All right, so I got this for you because, you know, I'm just a generous guy.
All right.
All right.
There you go.
Great. Beautiful.
So now if I open it, I'm going to, like, wreck these letters. But well,
that's all part of the whole stunt. Okay?
What the heck
is this?
What
you think, Frank? You knew.
What?
I've actually got you a really great gift. Tell the audience what I've done for you.
I'm speechless at this point.
Yeah, why are you speechless? Tell the audience why you're speechless, Frank.
You got me an iPod.
That's correct.
Now, wait, I got you a marshmallow hamburger. You got me an iPod. Now, wait a second.
Hence the comedy of the show. To all of you that are listening right now, this has been my life since I've known Frank. This has been my life since I know Frank.
I'm utterly speechless. This is the iPod 30 gig black. It's a video iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And you got the extra durable skin.
What do you think about the skin?
Here, get a picture here.
Yes.
I'm speechless.
Because you were complaining about the other day. Actually, it was annoying the hell out of me with your broken iPod. I'm like, why did you get a new? Oh, it's too expensive. You
know, my iPod was broke yesterday the other day.
So let me ask you a question, Frank.
Yeah.
You like your little gift?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad because you just fell for the oldest trick in the book.
Yeah.
That iPod is coated with anthrax and a generous layer of my saliva.
Ooh.
Not to mention the worst of it is which I rigged it with one of those retail security tags that explode blue ink all over when you open it up. The joke's on you.
Oh,
so when you open that later.
So this is actually a gag gift. It's not really a real iPod.
No, it's a real iPod.
Wow.
You have to just get through the poisons and the saliva and all the biohazards and somehow get around that exploding security tag. But if you do that, it's yours.
I'm speechless. I mean, I've actually been daydreaming for many months about getting one of these newfangled iPods. My iPod is so old. My iPod is from 2004.
Right.
And it's been around for so long.
Your iPod is so old.
I want to thank you so much.
You can play 8-track tapes on it, right?
Wow. I'm looking at this marshmallow hamburger. I don't know, but
I want to do something special for you. It's our first show back in all these years, so I figured you've been working very hard, a lot of late nights, a lot of sacrifice to put out a great show.
I appreciate all of your
old listeners from your other show, many of them hate my guts because I'm so mean to you all the time.
I know.
You know this, what?
This
so we're gonna say to all of you, like, fuck you all. All right,
yes.
You see how nice I am to Frank?
Listen, all of you guys, this makes up for all of those bad things
that Frank did to me.
Wow. So I've got a new iPod, and you have
correct.
A marshmallow
hamburger. And I have a marshmallow burger. Thank you.
But now, right. I did get you something else.
But the next gift is going to make up for it.
Yes, I think it will.
It's going to break me.
I got you a Chinese dog.
A
Chinese dog that I'm sure everyone will agree is
like a chihuahua?
Everyone should agree that this Chinese is a really nice guy. And I hope you really enjoy your Chinese dog. Here we go.
You got me an actual Chinese dog.
A Chinese dog, yeah.
Yeah.
A very nice Chinese dog. Here you go. We got you the Hong Kong Fooey.
The Hong Kong Fooey.
Action figure.
Of the Hanna-Barbera series. No one knows who Hong Kong Fooey is. I do, but I
come on, can't. Hong Kong Fooey.
It actually does.
I think you should open up because it does tricks.
It does tricks?
I don't know if anyone remembers Hong Kong Fooey.
I can't. I will not open it. I will save this.
You want to keep this in like a pristine.
I will send the. I'm going to send the burger. I will send the burger via to our random, as a random crap mailing, but not this. Not
Hong Kong Fooey.
Not
come
Hong
on.
Kong Fooey, which is really.
Now,
what was the whole story? Do you have the song?
I do have.
You have to play the Hong Kong Fooey song.
I actually did
so
find
people
it.
Actually know this was actually a cartoon.
It's a Chinese dog who does karate. Here it is.
Who is the superhero? Sarge?
No.
Rosemary, the telephone operator? No.
I watched this so much when I was growing up.
Henry, the mild-mannered janitor?
Could be. Number one superhero.
It was a huge show back then.
Hong Kong Fooey, quicker than the human eye. He's got style, a groovy style, and a pop that just won't stop. When the going gets rough, he's super tough. With the Hong Kong Fooey chop. Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy.
Right?
Hong Kong Fooey, quicker than the human eye.
This was a huge show growing up, right?
He would come out of the drawer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The file cabinet drawer.
Yes. And then that cat, you see this. Copyright 1974, Hanna-Barbera.
Unbelievable. Well, and look at this, Frank. Coincidentally, yes. If it was copyright 1974, it's for ages 8 and up.
Yeah.
I was 8.
Really?
In 1974.
Yes.
Look at that.
So I
could actually play with this in 1984, Frank.
So the concept is, was he Chinese or?
If you're from Hong Kong, it's a British protectorate at that time. So is it actually make you Chinese if you live there?
I don't know. I mean, he had a little Chinese car.
And you know what's going to happen now? You know there's going to be tons of people that are going to have to email us. And they're going to make us correct us about Hong Kong and about the Chinese and whatever.
No, right? But I'm just saying, like, he's like a cartoon dog.
Yeah.
But you can't tell if he's
a ripoff of Underdog. Basically, what happened was Underdog was the original.
He was the original superhero dog.
Then Hong Kong Fui was the Asian version of Underdog. So that's basically what it is.
The concept was, though, he was a janitor, like at the police department. But then when there was a crime, he would go into the filing cabinet and become Hong Kong Fui.
Right.
But yet he was an inept superhero. He was never able to make anything work. He had a cat. See, there's a little cat figure in there.
The cat made it all work.
Now, did the cat have the power of speech, or was it just a cat?
It's kind of like the Dastardly and Muttley combination, right? That's so what they always said.
The cat who has, like, bumblebee stripes, right?
Right.
That was the best thing about children's television in the 70s. All of the people making the cartoons were all stoned and high all the time. Let's get a cat.
So this is great.
Cat and a bumblebee.
The studio's filling up with nice stuff here. Do you have anything else? Or is it me to give you something?
Yeah, you can give me something.
I actually gave you this thing, and I think that you can something to share with people on the bus as you're driving. And it was actually given to me. I'm passing it on to you because I think you'll enjoy it.
You want to take the camera?
I'll take the camera, and you can open it up, and it's wrapped very.
It sounds like gum or something.
I don't even know how do you open this here.
Press the
all right the power button. Okay, here we go. So open it up
in Sony camera.
Tell people what you're getting here.
It's wrapped in the tin or aluminum foil. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, it's aluminum foil. It's made of tin. That's right. Got it. All right, and here it is. This very special gum. I think it may be.
It's like this. Now wait a second.
What do you have? Read what is your you have a special gum.
8 pieces of artificially flavored fruit chewing gum. I love my penis. Now wait a second. I love my penis gum. Now wait a second.
The gag is obviously you pull the gum out like on a bus.
My penis.
And say, would you like a piece of gum to somebody? You pass him the box of gum, and obviously on the box it says "I love my penis," and that's supposed to be a big hoot.
Wow.
For everybody.
It's sort of like "I love New York" is a heart. Now, I love my penis. You know,
as an added bonus, I believe that is penis flavored gum.
Really great
as well too. So I haven't checked it myself, and I wouldn't know anything about that.
No, me neither.
But it would be
BlueQ.com is a company that makes penis gum.
I love my, I guess it's novelty gum, you know.
But this could be taken either way. It could be taken like, it's not like you're like gay or anything. It's like your own penis.
That's the whole idea.
Okay, all right.
That's the thing, you know.
BlueQ.
All right. So that's
a great present.
I thought that would be really good to use.
Good.
And I thought you'd enjoy that.
I can use that on a bus. Yeah. Definitely.
In a home, you're visiting your family.
It's multifunctional.
How is your family, by the way? I haven't asked you that.
My family's doing very well.
They're doing good. Everyone's doing well.
Good, and yes.
You know.
My grandmother's 96 now.
Right.
She's doing good.
Right. He's doing good. That's great. That's great.
So everyone is doing fine.
Right. Like I told you before, Frank, I liken your family to Karari.
Karari?
Yeah, it's very beneficial in small doses, but tolerable in small doses, but lethal otherwise.
There's just a couple times Mike had a few run-ins with my family that didn't end well.
Right, they hated me the day they met me.
They said they have nothing against you. I talked to them recently.
You cleared it up before you did the show?
Yes.
That's great.
They said that they like you now.
Except for your sister. But that's a whole other subject for another show.
They said, look, he's a lot older now. We're sure he's reformed. I said,
I'm sure he's grown up. This is why I dragged you out of retirement to do this project, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So moving right along. These are our analysis of many things, which is really like almost like a gift session the first time we're doing it.
Yeah, I mean...
Is there anything else you have? I have a couple more things.
This is something this is something we have to test now.
Okay.
This is a product. I have one for each of us because we're going to actually have to test this out.
All right, we'll test it out.
See if I have all this junk in hand.
I wonder if you left this marshmallow burger out here, how long it would last.
Just put it on the mixing console and see.
I'm thinking about taking it out of its wrapper.
Yeah.
It says store in a cool, dry place away from direct sunlight. Wait a minute.
We'll put it in the sun, see what happens.
It's probably gonna be like it's gonna be like gremlins. If you get it, don't get it wet.
Yeah.
If you put it in the sun, what's it gonna morph into?
I don't know.
This burger will actually come to life and consume the town. What is it gonna happen if you put this in the sun?
We'll have to
do not put in direct sunlight. All right, go ahead. What do you have?
All right, here we go. Check it out.
What are these? These are, lick your wounds candy
wounds.
Oh.
So we gotta try this out. Here, let's get the hold it up for the camera. We want to show everyone the candy wound. they're actually flesh wounds that you can eat, and they're very tasty. Tasty flesh wound candy.
And for those of you that are nutritionally interested in these things,
yes,
they are based on nutritional information based on a 2,000 calorie a day diet.
Yes,
if this is going to be in part of your 2,000. Dextrose is the first ingredient, followed by corn syrup. Citric acid, magnesium stearate, artificial flavor, artificial colors may contain FD&C red 40, blue 1, and yellow 6, which is part of every growing child's diet. So
I honestly,
first of all, I will not be responsible if some stupid kid eats a lot of these and dies. Okay, no, look, I'm saying that right now.
Now the picture on here shows a cartoon child licking a bloody wound on his arm with a bunch of band-aids on his arm.
All right.
And this is by the Cap Candy Company.
Yeah, I'm gonna open this up.
A division of Hasbro.
It's a division of Hasbro.
So wait, the same company that owns Dungeons and Dragons owns candy wounds. This is amazing.
Hasbro. Oh my God.
So I don't understand how this would work. What do you have?
These are actually like band-aid like.
Is it like you eat the whole thing? Like, what is it?
How does it work? I think you're supposed to peel the
I'm trying to analyze this. You open it up and there's a pack of band-aids, but it looks
I think you're supposed to stick it on your body.
Wait. There's instructions on the side.
You have to glue. If a cane needs instructions, it's very bad.
It says that you peel off the adhesive. Yeah, peel off the adhesive.
I peeled it. Now, how do you actually?
Wait, you peel off. Okay.
Pop this.
All right, I'm putting it on my arm.
Oh, I see.
All right, how does this work? It's
got a secret compartment in it.
you lick the.
What the hell?
Oh man, the hair on my arm.
And they're a small tumor-like object.
Let me get a.
There's a small tumor-like object within the wound. Actually, there's a small.
What is this thing? It's like a scab. Oh, it's disgusting.
Oh.
Now you lick it.
I know. I'm not licking it.
I'm licking it. Lick it. Lick the wound. Here, take a picture of me. I'm actually willing to lick it. Here.
If anybody's it's licked.
Here we go.
Frank, lick your. Oh my God. That's scary in itself. Seeing you lick that your arm like that. Oh my God. You just see that's a nasty picture. That is.
Come
nasty.
On, take another picture,
dude. It's turning bloody red. As you lick it, it gets bloody. Oh my God. Oh my God. You know, I don't want to tell you what that looks like, man. That looks like you have like a used tampon stuck to your hand.
Oh,
that's nasty, man.
It turns blood red when you lick it.
What did I just say?
Oh, the blood's getting all over me. Oh.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't do this. This is bad.
It's utterly tasteless.
Yeah.
And
as is his humor.
So the idea is that you can lick the wound. And then there's a little cover for the wound, so you can walk around with this on your arm.
Oh, yeah, and again, if you want to keep licking later, you can save the rest of it.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, my. Who thinks of this crap? Oh, and there's an age limit on it. It's age 3+.
I cannot imagine a 3-year-old being able
I'm sorry. I have children, and I would never.
You want to take some for your kids or what? Candy wounds?
No, my kids have never eaten. Nor will they ever eat anything.
This is not some like obviously the burger was from some obscure place in Hong Kong or something.
Right.
This is from Hasbro, which is a big company.
Yeah.
All right. Now I have to rip this off my arm. I know it's gonna sting like hell because I have it's all on my hair and my arm.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I'm glad rip it off.
1, 2. Ow! 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 Look how my hair is stuck on there. This is a very...
You have a small woodland animal stuck to you.
Very, very, very painful candy.
Right. Yeah.
Now, do you have anything else? Do we have any other things to analyze? We can analyze a lot of stuff.
I have a very classic relic that I wanted to give you, Frank.
The heck is this?
This is actually an original for you.
Now, that is...
I actually found it in my basement.
It's
my original Farrah Fawcett poster.
Now, this is a classic. This is back in 77, 75? 70,
yeah, you know, it was
this is a picture of Farrah Fawcett.
It was definitely during whacking years. It's very creased, very full.
For people that don't know Farrah Fawcett, she was in the Charlie Angel. She was in that.
She's one of Charlie's Angels was the name of the show.
She was in Charlie Angel.
And like, for those of you who don't know Farrah, other than the picture you see on the internet of her now, because she's like 60. And lost half her anus because of cancer. This is what she used to look like.
Yeah,
this was a big sensation. This picture.
She was like she was considered like the hottest girl in the '70s, right?
Because she had this red bathing suit on.
It was very cold outside. She took the picture,
and everybody saw that. And she was just it. You know, and there was all these rumors about how her hair spelled out sex. If you look at her hair, you can see the S and the E.
Wasn't there something like this poster sold like 15 million?
It's the biggest selling poster in history ever.
Yeah.
Of ever. And it's worth some good money. Now, you can still get it on eBay new and in good condition. This one is not. It's definitely creased and folded and bent and has some indeterminate types of stains that are on it, which I will not talk about. But there's...
Great.
They're just, that's what it is. This is what you got. This is Farrah.
I really appreciate that.
In her better years. And this is something, I don't know if you want to, what you want to do with it. We might want to box it up and send it in our box.
We could frame it and put it on the wall here. You know, there's a lot of different things we can do.
We can send it. I've had
and look. It's signed. It's signed, Farrah.
Yeah, Farrah didn't actually sign that for me, Frank. Actually,
that's a good signature, though.
Actually slept with Farrah. Yeah, that's what it was, and she signed it for me when we were done.
Yeah, she was
gorgeous, wasn't she?
Yeah. You think this is what Tanya looks like? What was her name? Tanya.
I don't think Tawny.
Tanya, do you think Tanya looked like that? Or? You know,
if I had to live with that dude, if I had to live with that woman, I'd have to smack. I'd beat her head in daily.
Yeah,
you know, I couldn't take that voice day and night. Can you imagine? You know, her biggest aspiration is to be like drinking Mai Tais in the beach in 5 years with the guys paying for everything for her. You know, can you imagine? Yeah. God bless America.
Yeah, definitely. God bless America. So I think that is...
I have one more thing.
You have one more thing. Okay.
That I actually found in the basement. Look at this, Frank. This is classic. These are worth serious money.
And oh, I actually is that what found I think it them. Is?
These are originals.
Oh, my God. These are actual wacky packages.
Actual original wacky packs.
You know, wow, that is really bringing me back. This is amazing.
Because we lost the entire listening audience right now. What a wacky pack is.
No, I mean, I think that there's a whole generation that...
I mean, these are classics.
You can't, like, describe, like, spit and spill.
I had to peel that one off my bunk bed and stick it back on there. Virginia Slums.
Virginia Slums. Oh, wow. You know,
Val Eater. I mean, there's a...
Val Eater. Oh, I remember that. Like, instead of Velveeta, this guy that's eating valves.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, wow.
Lando Quakes with the woman who's shaking there and...
Wow. You know, the guy that did a lot of these, his name was Jay something. He actually came to the Drew University, the college we went to. The guy who drew a lot of these.
Yeah, he did.
Jay, I can't remember his name. These are awesome. Oh, man. This is amazing.
These are so much. Kleenex, Dr. Ono, Five Scratchy Blades.
Old Spit Cologne.
TV Guard. Instead of TV Guide, it's TV Garbage.
No tip.
Instead of Three Musketeers, it's Three Mosquitoes.
Instead of tricks, practical Joker cereal.
These are just classic pieces of memorabilia.
Cheerios is Cheepios. You know, oh man!
I mean, Liquid Plumbers, Liquid Bomber. I mean, there's just great. Man.
This actually, these wacky packages was the first thing I ever bought in my life.
I used to go to one pack for
6 cents.
6 cents. I was just going to say that you used to go to the store.
Can you imagine that these days?
It was 6 cents, and I remember vividly walking to the store one day, and they went up to 7 cents, and I was outraged.
I know.
I swear. I said, I'm never coming back to your store again.
I went to the store, and my mother said, I was like, I want wacky packages, and she's like, well, do you want to try to get it on your own? I forget how old I was. How old are you when you can start to buy things?
Yeah.
Five? I don't know.
Yeah.
I had my nickel and my penny, and I went in and I bought a pack of wacky packages.
It comes full circle, Frank. When you're little, you start buying things around five, yeah. And then once you get married, you can't buy things anymore.
That's true. That's true.
That's what happens.
Wow.
So it's like, there was 6 cents, and you got like, I don't know how many you got in the pack, but you also got a stick of gum with it.
Yeah, and I still remember the taste of that gum. It was like this hard stick of...
It was great stuff.
Oh, this is some amazing stuff.
And I thought that, those are really, I don't know, I don't know if we should give those away. I mean, those are part of my childhood.
These are valuable. Yeah, I mean, this is a valuable. I don't even think I have any of my original ones anymore.
Some of them are missing the frame. Some of them were peeled off the bed to stick back on the pieces of thing. But
wow,
could have been 9 lives, 8 lives.
These are worth money too. You know that. I mean, these are like
some of them are. I mean, those are the ones I can salvage.
Evil Time instead of Ovaltine, it was Evil Time. This is one of my favorite ones.
Yeah. Well,
it has a witch stirring up a cauldron and these.
Have I made you happy, Frank? Have I made you happy today?
Beyond happy. I'm stunned. I'm floored.
I'm great. I'm glad.
Farrah, Wacky Packs, and an iPod. I still can't wrap my mind around that.
Don't forget the I Love My Penis gum.
Yeah, well, that's very useful. Right, we'll use that.
Yes.
And of course.
I expect you to record the reaction you get from somebody on the bus when you approach them with your gum and hand it to them. All right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at this. Look at all this stuff.
All right. Well, what's up next on our show? Can we tell them what can the listeners come? There's lots of great things coming up. So let's tell them what's coming up next.
Coming up next is a brand new feature developed just recently for the show. It is going to be the Super Video Battle.
All right.
And of course, the first time around with the Anything But Monday show, it was the classic age of video games. And
back in the 80s.
And we have some video games on our computers, of course. That's what computers are good for, playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Mike and I are going to be
We're going to be battling.
We're going to be choosing a game, and we'll each be playing it. And we will see who gets the high score.
And whoever wins the high score gets what?
And we get...
get to get the hell out of here.
We get the bragging rights.
The bragging rights.
And if any of you out there have any suggestions of games you'd like us to play...
on the air, please.
And in fact, it's funny because the game we chose actually has a very a great meaning. We've chosen the game...
Phoenix.
And we have risen...
From the
ashes.
How
yes.
poetic.
Yes.
How
you
poetic.
Know, that shows you. I did not even think of that.
Right. But that's just the way things work for us in the universe.
Now, we have to choose... Which one are we choosing? The one from Amstar or Century? Century.
Century, right.
Century.
And...
All right. So fire it up and make sure it's reset. Can you, okay. Is it on?
It's on, but how do I get... How do I set... How do
now,
I set
you, what, do you have the insert coins or... what does it say? Insert coins?
I just have a demo going.
For those of you who don't know, Phoenix is a game that came out in 1980. It is a game... you know, distantly related to a Space Invaders or a Galaxian. You have a little spaceship on the bottom, and instead of shooting regular spaceships, you're shooting little birds in space. That's right. And then,
hence the epitome of entertainment in 1980.
Yeah. Now let me just.
How do I get to the start of this game? Wait,
yeah, you hit five to get your quarter.
Five.
And you hit one to start, but don't do it yet. Hold on. Right. I want to just get the levels, the sound levels. That's probably gonna be good, right?
Yeah, that's good. Let's. Right, people are bored now.
I know.
They're waiting for us to play. Now, whoever wins this. All right. If you lose, you get punched in the head. How about that?
No. We don't have any prizes yet.
we barely have a studio here.
I know.
We have a lot. We have the greatest technology in the world. And we're like in this like secluded spot.
I know.
You know. We always have to stay one step ahead. As Frank didn't really mention this, we have one step ahead of the Illuminati all the time, right, Frank?
There is no Illuminati. If there was, would they allow games like Phoenix to exist? Come on.
I don't know.
All right. Right now, you have the number one button,
yes,
right?
Yes. What do I got to do? Hit one?
Just hold on. We're going to count down, and we're going to play, and whoever gets the high score is going to be the winner.
All right.
This is the first super video battle.
Right.
Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. I think we're going.
We're both going?
I think so.
The stars are coming down.
Right.
Here we go.
And I'm going. How do you fire?
Control key.
All right.
No!
I see that I'm still going.
I'm shooting little...
You got
blown up?
Yes, I got blown up.
I'm shooting these little birdies in space.
All right.
Yeah.
I can't do these noises alone enough to drive you nuts. This is not fair. This doesn't move that... It's not... All right.
Ooh, I got blown up.
All right, you're way ahead of me. Frank is the video man. I'm not surprised.
I got to get to the space base.
I'm ruined.
You're done?
I'm sure you won.
Well, what was your score?
280.
Well, I'm going to keep going then. I got 460. And I have two guys left.
Wait, no one wants you play by yourself.
These are the purple ones. I won. Mike's walking out of the studio. Ooh. Hold on.
I'm leaving the studio.
I want to get to the space station. All right, that was the first super video battle. These are the space eggs. They grow into giant like crows.
Yeah.
That's it. I got. So what was your score again?
280.
Mike, 280.
That was pathetic.
And
what was yours?
Frank, 1830.
1830.
Yeah, man.
Oh man, that's pathetic.
So that was our super video battle. I hope you enjoyed that.
I don't think they did. but anyway.
There's so many video games out there. We can try different ones.
Yes, we can. We definitely can go back some other time and do some other ones. Okay.
Yes.
All right, good.
Now it is time to move on to the next topic.
And what will that be?
We will.
Right back after this?
After this, break.
Warning. Listening to the show has been proven to cause pubic hair loss, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic blue balls, fits of uncontrollable masturbation, flatulence, BO, purple nurples, noogies, Indian burns, the willies, tooth decay, projectile vomiting, pain when urinating, shingles, aluminum siding, bird flu, Lyme disease, rickets, erectile dysfunction, irregular menstruation, severe underarm sweating, cotton mouth, itching and swelling of hemorrhoidal tissue, low birth weight, anthrax, head lice, toxic shock syndrome, SARS, AIDS, MS, PMS, DTs, ADD, ADHD, incontinence, bloating, rabies, crabs, lobsters, homosexuality, hallucinations, chafing, the clap, acid reflux disease, lethargy, hyperactivity, sore nipples, crotch rot, cataracts, foreskin regrowth, loss of appetite, loss of virginity, and the uncontrollable urge to inflict violence on elected officials and anyone named Oprah, Britney, Rosie, or George W., all in laboratory animals. So you should just be fine. Unless, of course, you're a laboratory animal. Which would make listening to the show not good for you, as previously stated. Unfortunately, numerous laboratory animals were senselessly slaughtered in the making of this disclaimer.
Yes. There is the disclaimer, so all of you should know the dangers of listening to the Anything But Monday show.
You've been warned.
Yes, you've been warned.
Anyway, what I wanted to get to now is that there was an old feature we used to do a long, long time ago. And the reason why it came about is because actually Frank started this because it had to come. It came from the stupidity that is your horoscope that you read in the newspaper on a daily basis, which is kind of ridiculous because if you read the actual horoscopes that people write,
yeah,
it's all made up. This one is like, and of course the person's made up.
Made up. They have star charts.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the woman's name is Jennifer Angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They're all like Lunar Eclipse is a person's name. They're all made up names, first of all, and they basically this is a real one. This is a real horoscope.
This is a real one. The fake ones are coming up, but this is a real one. This is a real one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Cancer. Here's one for Cancer. Okay?
Yes.
There's an abundance of things to do this weekend to tidy up loose ends. When is that not ever?
Yeah, but they have a star chart, and they see that the people that are born in that date, and they're licensed. There's like a licensed astrologer.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So it's real.
Licensed astrologer, yeah.
It's real.
Yeah, oh, here's a good one. Use energy wisely, making sure to keep some in reserve for tomorrow.
Well, only 1/12 of the people need to use energy wisely. That's pretty clear.
Oh, there's a lot of good coming your way. What is
it doesn't hurt to be positive in this world. That's nice.
Allow a moment to contemplate the past year before surging ahead.
Well, a little bit of contemplation. These are nice thoughts.
Yeah, nice general things. I can make any of these up.
They take a star chart and they plot the angle of the birthday and they get,
all right.
They tell you if you need to look forward to the future, look to the past. But we have our own version of the horoscope called the horrorscope. And
which you started.
We came up with this a long time ago. This was back in the 80s. We started this. So if anyone else has any horoscopes, forget it. Ours was the first. Okay, the first horoscope, horrorscope. Right. It sort of sounds like horoscope.
I think I gave it the name, but I don't know. You're the one who started writing these things. So, but anyway, I kind of jumped on board with it throughout the years, and it's actually been a pretty popular feature in our magazine, which we're now going to bring to you live.
It might actually be more useful than the original horoscopes because these actually you can get like symbolic messages from them and stuff, and it'll help you out in your daily life.
If you follow the more closely you follow these, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah,
no
if you
doubt.
Follow them very closely, you will either be very well off or you'll wind up in a mental institution or Guantanamo, you know.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
Right.
Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. It's time on the Anything But Monday show for your horoscope. Mike, you can begin.
Aries, give Atlas a break. Carry the whole damn world on your shoulders for a few minutes. All that stands between you and losing weight is a desert of crystal light. Sorry, you'll have to jog a million miles, but you'll have a million days to do it. Retrieve the elusive Fresca boy.
Gemini, baptize your iguana. Devour the visions of sugar plums that dance in your head. Yodel your social security number while defecating. A dream of Fred Mertz will cause you to awake and change your sheets.
Taurus, at long last, you finally found a sacrificial virgin to adjust your TV and your satellite dish to the proper alignment. No, the dead will raise you. Stray dogs and stray bullets will plague you every step of the way. Extinguish that burning bush in your yard, or if you'd like, turn it into a shameful tourist trap.
Cancer. You will succumb to a bout of homicidal mania in a fast food restaurant. Move to erase all memories of Hulk Hogan in your mind. A hamster, a dumpster, and a hamper will plague your in-laws. Swallow a Gatling gun.
Leo, you just put that Viola right back where you found it. Exercise restraint when dealing with those mole men living under your porch. A Pulitzer Prize-winning hamster will publish your memoirs in Braille. Frig that shit!
Libra, tuna salad your way to a better sex life. Depict a casual murder in pastels on the wall of a Dairy Queen. Your mission, genocide the cows.
Virgo, write a check to the U.S. government paying off the national debt. It might just clear. Don't you think that you've put off construction of that land bridge of Lincoln Logs across the Bering Straits long enough? You become fed up with force feeding those Siamese quintuplets.
Scorpio, dress to kill, but only maim. A bed of nails, a bed of hot coals, a bed of flowers, a bed of rice. Each shall be your resting place on Wednesdays this month. One, no wait, both of your parents will have extramarital affairs.
Sagittarius, prepare several exotic dishes of human bowel movement and serve them to foreign dignitaries. For last this month, try self-immolation. Preheat oven to 400 degrees and climb right in. Spend less time on your cereal collection and more time on your bomb collection.
Aquarius, a chance meeting with a fairy will leave you rich but sterile as a jackass. Never fear this month. Instead, be horrified. Astral travel before the holiday rush. Now's a good time to start perpetual motion.
Capricorn, contemplate bubblegum-flavored pussy. Don't be surprised to awake in the middle of the night to find a naked Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hovering over your bed. Slay all of Frank Perdue's offspring. Hum the theme to Mission Impossible while pole-vaulting through your neighbor's window.
Pisces, graft a live blowfish to your forehead and proclaim yourself Christ. A waning moon signifies the beginning of Nipplethon 06 in your medicine cabinet. For luck, smash a few mirrors, walk under a ladder, step on a crack whore, and cross a black. What?
Okay. And Willie the Worm.
Yes, Willie the Worm.
Which is February 29th. For those of you born in a leap year, Ronzoni is your spiritual marinara. Oh, to be fluorescent this month. Rock the Casbah. A Pinot Grigio will hold the answer to your yeast infection. But which one? And that is your horoscope for today.
Your horoscope.
February 17th, 2007.
Actually, the show's going to come out on the 19th. Episode 1.
Yeah, but we're recording the show on the 17th.
I know. So the stars will be aligned by then.
So let's put that in then. We'll make sure we put the right thing. And that was your horoscope for...
We're not changing this. Are you crazy? That was your horoscope for the...
17th, 19th.
The week of February 18th.
Yeah, if you're a part of the CIA who's been listening into the show, you got the show today, if that was the case. Other than you have to wait till Monday.
What? Damn, the CIA is a week behind?
CIA agents.
They're a week behind?
No, they're listening today. They know they're listening right now. Bunch of bastards.
Oh, they can hear us?
Of course. That's what these people do. What do they do?
Well, like surveillance, you're trying to say?
Yeah, no, they never happen. It's not in this country.
There's no surveillance.
Never. But it's warranted.
This country is free. It's pure. Didn't you ever hear of the land of the free?
In home of the brave, yeah. But they're protecting us. They're protecting our rights by spying on us. That's what they do. They're protecting us from terrorism.
They want to make people feel safer.
Right, exactly. and I do feel a lot safer now that with George Bush in charge in this country, of course.
Yes. Right?
Don't get me started on him. All right.
I didn't vote for him.
Neither did anybody else that put him in office.
I voted for Michael Bednarik.
Who?
Michael Bednarik.
Who's Michael Bednarik?
He was a libertarian candidate for president last time around. Michael Bednarik.
Well, the American people didn't vote for Bush either. He just, you know, he rigged it till he got in there. Right? Again, so we know that. You know, it's a scam.
Yeah.
We know that already. You know, it's part of one of the big Illuminati plots that's out there. Right, Frank?
I doubt that because I don't think there is an Illuminati. I don't think they exist.
Like steering clear of the Illuminati every other chance
he gets. There's no mafia. There's no Illuminati. It's all fiction.
No.
These people do not exist.
Okay. So let's go to our... Well, first of all, we have to remind people about our feature called Submit-A-Bit.
Submit-A-Bit. Now, only registered members may submit-A-Bit. If you're a premium subscriber, you can submit-A-Bit.
Right. And what a submit-A-Bit is...
And in fact, they're the only people hearing this right now, so...
So a submit-A-Bit would be basically you come up with a bit you'd like us to do, and we will do it live on the Anything About Monday show.
A name and a brief description, and we will attempt to do it.
Yeah, we will. We may ad lib it. We may prepare in advance for it.
We'll even maybe get a few sound effects in there.
Exactly. We'll do something that's going to help it be, you know, entertaining. So you come up with a bit, you submit it. Submit-A-Bit.
Yes.
You can do it by phone. You can do it by email. Either one is fine.
It can be wacky, you know. It could be a wacky bit, or it could be a serious bit, you know. Ooh. Okay. That's the crossbow, the flaming crossbow. Ooh. It's a rough one.
That's a rough.
We got it. We're going to get our sound effects in line here. I had
two sound effects today.
We have like no sound effects today. We're getting our system set up.
Here's my sound effect of the day.
Where is it? Oh, you're not up. Go out. Go.
I have two sound effects. These are the ones I have.
Yeah.
Here's the first one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the second one.
And it's the toilet flushing, yeah.
That's all I got.
I have that one.
That's all I got. All right.
No.
Oh, no, stop that, will you?
Hold on. That was gonna go.
All right.
All right, where are we at?
So I think we're at the feature where we talk a little bit about what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I don't have my timer on, by the way.
And like we this name of this feature is called the effed up world that we live in. And yes. We've gleaned these features from the headlines. These are actually true stories, and I will start with the first one today.
Yes.
That I've gleaned from the headlines, and this is a true story. Actually, it was a headline in, of course, the New Jersey Star Ledger.
Which now, let me say, these are Mike is actually holding in his hands a real newspaper. These are real.
These are not imaginary newspapers, yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a real newspaper here.
Yeah.
And basically, here's the headline. With the cap, with the picture, Zeus worshippers, give me that really old time religion, okay?
Yeah.
And here is a picture of worshippers of the ancient Greek gods of Olympus hold a ceremony at the temple of Olympian Zeus in central Athens yesterday. The first time in 1,500 years that a group of ancient Greek religion believers received permission to hold a ceremony at an ancient temple. So here we have a bunch of people. This is a clutch of modern pagans honored Zeus. At an 1,800-year-old temple in the heart of Athens yesterday.
Illuminati. Oh, sorry, did I say that? Sorry.
Now, sorry. I put these people into the same category as the flat earthers and people who believe in zombies.
Well, Mike, I know you didn't mean to insult me right there, but I was a member of the Flat Earth Society. unfortunately, the guy was named Charles Johnson. He died.
Because he fell off the earth, right?
Well, you know, he was running a good organization there, but his hut in the middle of the Mojave Desert was burnt to a crisp, and he lost all his records. Then he was trying to rebuild it. I joined up the Flat Earth Society at that point. I have my plaque. I have my Flat Earth Society card. And unfortunately, he died. His wife died. And the only person left is Jill A. Fear, his secretary. She's the only possible link left to the...
You're making this stuff up, right?
She's the only possible link left to the Flat Earth Society. But there is another group I just found out about yesterday. Right? You know, the flat earth, people aren't really that into that idea. They think, you know, the earth is not flat. I'd like to keep an open mind on these things. I'm not saying the earth is flat, but I'd like to keep an open mind.
It's totally concave.
But there's another group which is not quite as extreme. They're called the Fixed Earth Society. I think it's called fixedearth.org or something.
So
they believe the earth is a ball, but it's not moving. But that the universe moves around it. But they're not saying it's flat, but they're saying that it's
rotate on its axis.
Like solitary. It's like it's not moving. Like everything moves around it. So there's different sort of groups like that, but yes, the Flat Earth Society was a great group.
But you believe in that, but you don't.
I don't believe in it,
but you don't believe in zombies, do you?
No, get out of here.
Okay, there is a whole part of the population that actually believes in zombies.
No, they don't.
I'm telling you, there was a guy, Mel Brooks' son.
Yeah,
I think Max Brooks was his name. Wrote a book.
Yeah,
the Zombie Survival Guide. It truly a book.
Yeah,
a follow up book. How proud could you be of your son? He wrote a book about surviving the plague of zombies coming over. It's like almost like a virus you get, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And you turn into a zombie. There's been movies made about that.
Yeah.
You know, Life Force, things like that. Those kind of movies. It's an 80s, obscure 80s movie, horror movie. But this is really, you know, people, there's actually people out there believe in zombies.
You know, it was good, Dawn of the Dead, because it was in a mall. Remember that one?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that was a great movie. Like, they just go to hanging out in a mall, all the zombies there. That was a great one.
Oh, I have a couple of friends that are totally into the whole zombie thing. They hoard weapons, you know, in their house for the day the zombies come, and they're just waiting.
But it's like a tongue-in-cheek campy.
They mean it. They really seriously believe that someday that's going to happen. We're going to be barricading ourselves in malls because the zombies are going to be coming.
But is there any proof that there is a zombie?
Look, first of all, this debate about, I can understand the undead, okay?
Yeah.
You know, when you start talking about non-sentient undead, I mean, I don't see how they can have mindless undead. You know, there's got to be some kind of sentience there for them to rise and you know, I understand.
No,
vampires, yes, that makes a lot of sense.
No, but vampires are very smart. And in the movies, the zombies, some of them can talk, some of them have some personality. It's not like they're mindless.
In the movies, they have to do that so there's a film. You can't have like mindless zombies walking around. They got to have this personality, otherwise, no one's going to see the film.
But are you saying that some people believe that there will be real zombies, or there already have been, or it's
yes,
like a conspiracy?
People believe that there's whole societies in this world that still, you know, believe in zombieism or whatever the hell they call the thing. And the zombies are around. The dead will walk, and they will, like, you know, take over the planet.
So these people really believe it. So they have weapons to fight the zombies.
They're convinced that the zombies will arrive and at any moment, and that's what that could happen. I'm telling you. So I mean.
So what do you have? Do you have anything like to, and just in case it happens?
No,
I don't.
Come on, I don't believe in that, man.
What are you going to do when the zombies come? Like, what's the? You know?
Look, your big problem is not zombies.
Yeah. What is your problem?
Lycanthropes.
That's true.
You know, the where creatures are much something. Now let's shift gears again because I don't want to talk about the living dead. So
basically there were these people worshiping Zeus.
Right, Zeus.
So they're back to worshiping the Greek gods.
They're worshiping Zeus and they're worshiping all the other Greek gods. Poseidon,
Aphrodite.
You know, this is it.
Callisto, whatever.
Yes, dressed in ancient costumes, worshippers standing near the temple's imposing Corinthian columns, recited hymns calling on the Olympian Zeus, king of the gods and the mover of things, to bring peace to the world. It's always peace to the world, right? All right. Our message is world peace and ecological way of life in which everyone has the right to education. that's what the Greeks are preaching.
New world order.
New world order.
Oh, boy.
They called on Zeus to bring rain to the planet. Oh, God.
Great.
Yeah. Most Greeks are baptized Orthodox Christians, and they reject the religious practices as pagan, of course. You know, but things were a lot better when it was a polytheistic society, wasn't it? It was much more fun and creative now, right? Wasn't it fun back then?
When? Back in the Roman days?
Yeah, back in the Greeks and Romans, you know, they stole each other's gods, they renamed them, you know, it was just a fun time.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Great time. Now that's boring, you know? Now everybody's killing themselves over religion. Back then, it was just like, it was just the gods humping the mortals, right? That was what they used to do. Now it's all like just killing because of this.
Yeah.
Because of God, right?
Yeah, those gods were horny.
Yeah.
Which is probably, you know, like that makes more sense if we're made in God's image.
Exactly.
All right, so what, you got some more stories over here?
This is a shocking story here.
This is from the real world we live in. These are not made up.
These are not made up stories, right? This is from the Newark Star-Ledger. Excellent, yes. High end.
One of the top 10 newspapers in the country, I
right,
believe.
Exactly. Yes. Big plans for some giant rabbits. In German hoppers, North what? Korea sees an end to hunger. Okay. What? Now, look, this is a guy who's in Germany who breeds these gigantic rabbits.
Yeah, I saw those online, yeah.
You see this picture? Look at this picture.
I saw that online recently.
This rabbit is the size of a child, a five-year-old child.
Yes, that's actually a real picture, yeah.
That's actually a real picture. He's holding up the rabbit. This rabbit is the size of a child, okay? Yeah. So I'm looking at this. I'm reading the fine print. North Korea is they're looking into this to feed their starving population, which is bullshit. What they're doing is they're breeding an army of anthropomorphic rabbits to take over the earth come Easter Sunday. You see that?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're all, let's disarm. We don't need nuclear. Of course you don't need nuclear weapons anymore. You have anthropomorphic rabbits.
How'd they even make it that big? I mean,
look at the size of that thing.
It's ridiculous. How are they breeding them that big?
Yeah, so, I don't know. He feeds them in a special way. And steroids, and if they weren't, he says they aren't able to feed them the way I do here, I won't send them anymore.
Yeah, don't send any of that North Korea.
I don't want them to be half starved. Great, you're gonna send the gigantic rabbits to feed the population, but you don't want them to be half starved.
What was that movie? There's a movie about that. Night of the Lepus or something.
I don't know.
Wasn't there a movie Night of the Lepus about the rabbits that took over?
I don't remember, dude.
Remember the swarm? That was like when the bees took over.
There's always these large conglomerates of animals that were taking over the planet back in the 70s. Wasn't there?
Yeah, every other movie is like the swarm, the rats are taking over.
The rats are taking over. The bunny rabbits are taking over.
Night of the Lepus, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it was from 1972.
And what was happening in this film?
Let's see. They were born, that tragic moment when science made its great mistake. Now from behind the shroud of night they come, a scuttling, shambling horde of creatures destroying all in their path. So just like a bunch of giant mutant rabbits terrorized the Southwest.
it was rabbits? It wasn't rabbits.
It was rabbits, absolutely.
It wasn't mixed order? There wasn't a mixed rodentia group?
No, it was like the rabbits just took over.
Oh, God. Oh, man, you definitely need to get some do something about those rabbits.
You don't have a rabbit sound effect. You need to get the
dogs keep the rabbits away.
Yeah.
All right. So that was that story.
I'm trying to see if I can find the trailer to this movie.
We don't need to see the trailer for that film. We don't really seem to see that.
I have it. Here it is. The Night of the Lepus trailer.
Let's see if they're going to sell this one. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Happened that night. Science made its greatest mistake.
The same thing I just said.
What? Unknown terror.
You gotta see this.
Born that night.
There's great sound effects for those. Here, let me see. Look at it.
The terrifying mutant that strikes from behind the shroud of night.
Oh my God!
That night. Look at this. A giant rabbit jumping in a window.
Of the Lepus.
Night of the Lepus. Great.
night of total
terror. Oh, boy.
More shattering than your strangest nightmare.
We gotta get this movie now.
What caused the unnatural death?
Helicopters. And panic. Almost a sign of a bad movie.
It's a 1970s movie. It looks like it's 1970s.
Janet Leigh. Wow, she really went downhill.
Stuart Whitman.
Oh, my God.
Rory Calhoun. And Paul Fix.
Wow.
Of the Lever. Kill one. And thousands take their place.
They're using flamethrowers. Flamethrowers. Great.
There's always military police with them.
Every day are hidden behind the eyes of horror.
What oh, boy.
Can stop them?
What can stop
Night
them?
Of the Lever.
Oh, my God. That's the worst. That's got to be the worst voiceover I ever heard
in
my life.
Worst, it's like the worst trailer ever.
I've heard like...
Night of the Lepus.
Our professional voiceover guy is about a million times better than that guy.
Wow.
Night of the Lepus. Oh.
Giant rabbits.
It's almost like... you look at it and you can't help but think of like Monty Python and the Killer Rabbit.
It's
that bad. The attacks. It's really terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Night of the Lepus for you.
Rabbits can be very dangerous. So.
Yeah, we warned you here on the show that wait. You know, Easter's coming, and you know when they spring these giant rabbits on us, the North Koreans, we'll all be saying, "Oh, I remember we never listened."
Are the North Koreans bent on world domination just like we are, or
in a different way, Frank? They're bent on world domination and domination in a very, very malicious way.
Are we still pursuing that, or are we just kind of like,
I gave that up already.
Yeah, we're not looking for world domination. We want to dominate the premium podcasting world.
Here's another great quote by George Bush. Quote,
our president.
America and our allies are going to stand with these folks. That's the message I want to deliver to the Afghanistan people today.
But I don't know if you remember on 9/11/01, the day that the whole 9/11 thing happened, the World Trade Center and everything. He came on TV later that day. He's like, "Well, we're gonna deal with the folks that did this." Like the folks. He calls them folks. Just plain old folks.
The Afghanistans are folks. Yeah, I'm sure they're really happy about that.
Yeah.
But I love how they call them folks. You know.
Whoa! So. What happened? I didn't mean to do that.
Why is there a pinball game going in the middle?
I was trying to just play another sound effect.
Oh.
Sorry about that. I didn't have my sound effects set up.
Yeah, great. And then we have here the Curse of Baghdad. Look at this. Yet another building has exploded in Baghdad, and more people are dead, bodies strewn everywhere. And here we have the youth of Baghdad sifting through the wreckage. Again,
yeah.
What is this insane fascination? A car blows up. 10 minutes later, if the flames die down, you're picking through the wreckage.
Yeah.
Are we missing something? Is there something hidden in the wreckage of cars? After car bombs, you're going to find? What am I missing?
That's what I was looking for. I think that, it sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, maybe there's something in the glove compartment. I don't know.
These cars exploded,
these people,
man.
You got to feel bad for people that live there. And, you know, whatever they can find.
Why do I have to feel bad for people that live there? Why?
It's not their fault.
Here's my solution to the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's quite simple.
Yeah.
With countries like this, just build a giant dome.
Yeah.
And put it, just lower it over the country, right?
It would make that sound effect.
Yeah,
so.
It would make as it landed, put that giant dome over like Iraq or Iran or whatever, right?
Yes.
And just leave it there until they're done killing themselves, and then we go in, right? Leave it or until they run out of air if you don't put air holes in it. It could be either one.
I think it'd be nice to have compassion for some people.
Yeah. Okay.
No compassion.
Compassion.
I'm sorry. I think
let's have compassion for this guy. Here he is, Tim Hardaway.
Who's that?
Tim Hardaway was a basketball player.
Oh, he's the guy with the gay comments.
Yeah, he's the one who made the gay comments and came out and said, "I hate gay people," and I bashed.
Wow.
You know, he bashed his fellow one of the basketball players that came out recently that he was gay.
Wow.
And then, of course, he apologized, of course, after his agent got a hold of him. And
that's why I love these people that make these like outrageous statements and whatever. That may be his real thing, but why apologize? That's obviously what he really thinks.
The next day he released a statement that went like this. I quote, as an African American, I know all too well the negative thoughts and feelings, hatred and bigotry cause, Hardaway said yesterday in a statement issued by his agent and also probably written by him because this imbecile could not write those kind of coherent sentences. I mean, I'm reading this like, yeah, this guy, I hate gay people, you know, mother. I hate them. And then the next day, oh, I'd like to tell you that the negative thoughts and feelings of hatred and bigotry, you know, that, oh, yeah, but, you
know,
wrote
why
that.
Why does this make big? We know people out there like that. This one guy does not like gay people. Who gives a crap? Yeah. So screw him. Whatever. Who cares?
Join the club.
Just because he's famous, it really matters?
Yeah, okay. I regret and apologize for the statements
that
I made.
He doesn't regret that.
That I have certainly caused the same kinds of feelings and reactions. I especially apologize to my fans, friends, and family in Miami and Chicago. I'm committed to examining my feelings and will recognize, appreciate, and respect the differences of fuck. I have no respect for people like this whatsoever.
No, just don't say it, or if you say it, just stand by it.
Yeah, stand by it. You know, Michael Richards is another one. Oh, did you read he's not going to show up for the mock trial? Did you read that whole thing?
Michael Richards will not
show up for the mock trial. They're doing a brilliant idea to bring
again. It's one guy that has a certain thought. Who gives a crap? You know, just because he's famous.
It's a mock trial they're going to have with the three people he insulted, and he was supposed to attend this mock trial, perhaps, and they were going to put it on, make the whole thing like a fame. Everything has to be a mock trial.
Yeah.
You know? So
everyone's obsessed with all this stuff. If you would just stop,
so much attention on it.
If someone says a word, just ignore it. Who gives a crap?
He's right. Just don't say certain words.
Whatever happened to that old thing? Sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Except if you went to Drew University, where we went.
Well, it's a really simple concept. A guy says a word.
Right.
Okay. What? Right, and
here's a quick quiz, okay?
Yeah.
Who was once quoted in their younger, less politically correct days as saying, quote, if apartheid is so unsavory, then bring back slavery?
Was that Michael Richards? Or David Duke, maybe? who could have that been?
Where's the buzzer? Where's the buzzer, Frank?
David, let me see. David Duke?
No. David.
Michael Richards?
No.
KKK guy from Howard Stern Show?
No.
Ooh.
Yeah, that actually happened, was edited by a gentleman named Frank Edward Nora.
Now, wait a second. Did I say that?
Yes. It actually appeared in the newspaper, actually. Do you remember that? People don't remember apartheid, but apartheid is so unsavory, then bring back slavery.
I was trying to be deliberately provocative in that thing. It did not reflect my actual opinion on the issue of apartheid. But I was trying to be deliberately provocative.
Did you examine your feelings afterwards and come to the conclusion that it was incorrect?
If my goal was to piss people off, I succeeded.
You did do that. Do you remember when we went before the Black Student Union to explain ourselves?
Yes, it was called Hiera.
there was seven members. Now half the campus is all minority now where we went. But when we went there, we had to go explain ourselves, and that was a very tense evening. Do you remember that night?
No, we went in front of the group and we talked all about this stuff. I mean, I think it was we wanted to push people's buttons. This is back again. We're going back to that time we described earlier in the show. That was about 12 hours ago now. How long is this show?
It seems like forever.
But when we published this magazine, we got in a lot of trouble because we put stuff in there that was designed to be deliberately provocative. And some of this stuff was, like I said, I wrote that little article about South Africa because right at that point it was apartheid was a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And people got real bent out of shape. But that was our intention, was to sort of piss people off. We wrote about all different things in that magazine. And we wound up going in front of the Black Student Union and describing things and talking about it. I mean, it definitely was not like a real hatred of any black person or any racism behind it. It was just sort of like just we were just sowing our wild oats. And
that's why we have.
We talked about everything and,
Yeah, that's how we have Dave, our program director, so we can get away with it now. Right? Because if he's here, he's on the beat keeping us on the straight and narrow. Because if we see anything that is racist, he'll be right all over us like a ton of bricks, right? everything's always off. Why are you always messing with my board?
Are you? No. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep turning you off.
Why do you do that?
Play it. What are we going to play?
No, it's done now. I can't play it
sorry.
Now. You know? It's done. But what else? What are some other stories here? I have some other things, other stories. That I'd like to share with you.
Yes. This is real world
real
news.
World events here. Here's people picking through the wreckage. And here we go.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda tape dubs Bush a lying gambler.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda's number two said President Bush was an alcoholic and a lying gambler who wagered on Iraq and lost. No shit.
Oh, boy. Great.
I mean, that's really... he's got it right. How can Bush be pissed? The guy is an alcoholic lying gambler, right? He is.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I didn't vote for the guy.
Bush, who is now 60, has acknowledged he had a problem with drinking, but gave up alcohol when he was 40 years old. That's our age.
So he was up till then, he was drunk all the time.
I'm a drunk. He was drunk the entire time.
This guy's led a charmed existence. I mean, you know, he's part of this family. That's how he got in. I mean, just think about it. This guy, if he wasn't connected, he would never become president. He would never become anything. He was just like this. This guy who was just into partying. There's actually a great documentary about George Bush.
Yeah.
It was on HBO or something. It was sort of him on the campaign trail before he even got the Republican nomination.
Yeah.
And all of this very candid footage of the guy. He looks like a really fun guy.
Yeah.
He was just joking around, and he seemed like very fun loving, and he seemed like a nice guy. Of course, he is now, I don't think he's sitting there making all these decisions. He has these people around him, whatever shadow government that's making these decisions. But when you saw him before the whole president thing, before all the outrageous stuff he comes up with, he seemed like kind of a fun guy. And I don't think ultimately he probably feels like he wants to be doing that.
Right.
But, you know, he probably had to. I mean.
Yep.
It's kind of it's kind of scary, but
here we have a piece on Jennifer Aniston. She's all pissed off that
she. You know, for people that don't know, Jennifer Aniston was an actress in the TV show Friends.
How could they not know that?
A lot of people might not know that.
All right. Well, anyway, I think she's been around since that time.
Friends was a very popular sitcom.
Yeah, but she's been around since that time, though, Frank. She's been in the news.
Not really.
She
married Brad Pitt, right?
Yeah, Brad Pitt. She married Brad Pitt.
Then they broke up.
Right.
Okay.
Right. She married Brad Pitt. They broke up.
And then she went out with Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, right.
And then they broke up.
Right. And they didn't. We called the breakup. But there was a picture of her that she did on the set.
And she has millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Right. And she's, of course, she gets caught topless on the set. And they put this picture all over the internet. There's a picture of her working on the beach naked.
When was that, though?
There's a classic piece of her on the internet, her walking naked, topless across the beach. Did you see that picture?
That was from like a long time ago, though, right?
It was not that long ago. I don't know what it was. But the point being is she's all pissed and bent out of shape now.
Yeah.
That this picture is going to be really possibly got stolen and being released on the internet. Here's a solution. I'm going to give it to you right now.
Yeah.
Here's my advice if you're a celebrity and you don't want your naked image on the internet. Okay,
here we go.
Stop fucking taking your clothes off. what do you expect?
Maybe it was one of those parties with Tanya and Eileen over there.
Tawny and Aaron.
Tawny and Aaron, those naked parties out there in California. I couldn't believe that.
Look at that. Look at this. Yeah. Kelly Clarkson loves NASCAR. Yes, he returns with a sweet promotional deal. She's pumped. She's plugging NASCAR. What an attractive picture of her.
Let me see.
That's
Kelly Clarkson.
Great. Look at Kelly Clarkson with her big bumblebee.
She's the first American Idol.
She's a nice little Southern girl plugging that wonderful sport of NASCAR. Auto racing, yes. The cerebral sport of NASCAR auto racing.
But, you know, we live in... Oh, what are these puppets? Ooh, whenever I see puppets, I'm very... There's a puppet thing here. Getting cred with the preschool. John Stewart... And Jack's Big Music. Look at these. These are cool puppets.
Can we get back to what we're talking about now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Whenever I see puppets, I sort of lose my train of thought.
Yeah, okay.
Those are cool ones, though. They're from the Groundhog News Network. Anyway, yeah. I think that where we live here is in northern New Jersey, in the sphere of influence of New York City. I think this is the only place in the entire country that is immune from NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
And
Thankfully.
Well, not to malign anyone that is into the whole NASCAR thing, which is it's a car racing.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
I
want to hear. I want somebody to email me or leave a message on our show that we'll read and we'll repeat, explaining to me the appeal of NASCAR.
I think I understand it.
What is it?
There's like the colorful logos and the colorful cars, and then you get to know the people.
And there's heavy drinking going on all the time.
Well, yeah, of course.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
And it's loud. You can't even hear yourself think. It's loud.
I just for those of you that are into it, just try to imagine that no one around here talks about it or knows about it. And it's very hard. Like, this morning, I was watching, I think Fox News, and they had this series of reports about NASCAR, right?
Mm-hmm.
One after the other. This NASCAR, this NASCAR, that, and everything NASCAR. And I'm sitting there with, like... You know, sitting there like this, like what?
I came over on the ferry.
I couldn't understand it.
A couple months ago, I came over on the ferry from Manhattan,
yeah.
And I walk out, and there's a whole big, loud, blaring music. It's like 6 o'clock at night. It's dark out,
yeah.
And the music's blaring, and there's a big one of those big trucks out there, and it's a big NASCAR promotion. NASCAR is coming to New Jersey, right? Everybody's just walking by. It's like they're giving out shit. They're giving out freebies, and no one's even stopping. There's like blazing by.
You should see. I work in New York City, of course, and they're always putting NASCARs in Times Square. They're putting NASCARs all over the place. You know, they bring the actual NASCAR there.
Yeah.
No one gives a crap about it. They're always trying to push it. It's just like New York City will not tolerate the NASCAR thing.
First of all, there's no place to drive a NASCAR in New York City. That's the problem, for starters.
And I don't think they even have any of those racetracks around here that where they do the NASCAR, right?
No.
I knew someone from Connecticut, and they said in Connecticut it can get pretty popular.
Yeah.
But I think in New York and New Jersey, there's no NASCAR presence.
You know, NASCAR is kind of like ice skating. You know, you watch it, you want to see somebody fall down.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's the same kind of
an extra bonus. You know,
you want to see the cars crack up and have accidents happen.
Oh, this would be a perfect place for a sound effect.
Tragedy strike, and of course we're not set up for sound effects, but there will be, which will add.
Hold on. I gotta find a car sound effect.
We have nothing. We have nothing here.
I'll get it. I'll get a car.
Forget it. It's gone.
The moment is past. Darn it. I know I have car sound effects in here.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of the fucked up world we live in on the show.
All right. And we'll be back in one moment with more show. Yes. We are back.
Rolling around. Yes. Rolling.
Here we are. All right. So, Mike, what's our next feature on the show tonight?
Well,
is it day or night right now?
Day, night don't mean shit. Yeah. I don't know. So, where are we next? Where are we going next?
We're going to look at some real life adventures. Because we in the old days, we used to have a lot of fun adventures.
Yeah, we used to try to really go out of our way to have an adventure.
Yes.
And create things. Some of them worked out, some of them didn't. This one actually worked out pretty well. This one actually occurred in 1989 at the 20th anniversary celebration of Woodstock.
Yeah, and this is something that people may not know because they know, of course, the original Woodstock, which was in 1969, right? Let me look this up online. I should have looked this up before. The original Woodstock was in 1969, and it was in Bethel, New York, right?
Right.
And of course, everyone knows the original Woodstock. It was an amazing cultural event. All of these different musical acts, like Country Joe and Fish, and who else played there? That's the only one I can remember.
How about like Jimi Hendrix?
Grateful
Dead, and Grateful Dead. Janis Joplin was there. And
that was a big thing back then. And
I believe the Who were there too, weren't they?
A lot of people were there. It was a big, big thing, and what happened was the 20th anniversary was rolling around, and you'd think these promoters would be like, we're going to create a new Woodstock and everything, but no one even thought of it. Like back in the 80s, people didn't think this way. It was just like, oh, well, 20th anniversary of Woodstock, who cares?
Right.
But what happened was, and I'm going to read you what they said on the Wikipedia. Woodstock 89 was a rock concert that took place in August 1989 on the site of the original Woodstock concert of 1969 as a spontaneous celebration of the event's 20th anniversary, right? So basically, people started going there. It was like a gathering.
Right.
Like this guy, I guess it was someone's farm still or something. People started gravitating there, and we read about it, right? What was it in the newspaper? It was August 16th, I believe it was. August 16th or 17th.
Right. We read about it,
and so we said, hey, let's go up there and interview people for our magazine.
Which is about the level of planning at that point stopped right there.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, all right, let's jump in your car, Frank. Which was not a very reliable automobile, and we'll just drive the 5 hours or whatever it took to get the hell up there. It seemed like that.
This was like my father's Volvo, which was on its like it was like 15 years old. It was on its last leg.
So we'll just jump in the car and we'll drive up there.
I think we had about $6 in our pockets at that point. We had no food, we had nothing.
No food, no water.
And this is
no
not how long of a drive would you say this was? I mean, because we're here in New Jersey and going up to Bethel, New York.
It's it's not as far as you think it
like
is.
Like a 3 hour drive.
It's probably it's like almost a
3 hour drive maybe.
Or maybe, you know,
2.5-3 hour drive. So it's a significant drive.
It was a good drive, but it was like in the middle of nowhere, first of all. And we got nothing but a video camera, you know, a microphone, and
we had a film camera and a little recorder.
Right.
A tape recorder. Now, what was so funny about this is we actually recorded these interviews with these amazing characters, and then we just wrote it, we transcribed what they said and put it in our magazine as a feature in the final issue of the magazine.
But it was pretty wild because then one of the first people we bumped into, and you know, right around the time around the 20th anniversary, they kept showing that classic Life magazine cover of that couple wrapped in a dirty, smelly, muddy blanket, embracing each other. You know, and it's also on the cover of the Woodstock album, as a matter of fact. That couple, we actually ran into them and met them there. They actually got married, had kids.
Really? I forget that.
Yeah, we were like, wait a minute, I know these people.
And I forgot
like,
that part.
Yeah, they had gotten married, had kids, and they're like these, you know, of course, middle-aged, which is probably our age at that time,
that
we are now. At the time, and they were
there. They're in their late 30s. They're old.
Yeah, they're walking around the field right there. We went up to them. We talked to them, and we didn't interview them, but they were, you know, they were the actual people that were on that cover.
Wow.
Of that album.
Why didn't we interview
them? Of that album.
Why didn't we interview them?
Oh, that record album.
Yeah, but I mean, why didn't we...
I don't know why we didn't, you know, but we didn't interview them. But we did interview a lot of interesting characters that seem to be congregating in the field. And of course, in our old Enigma Monday wit and way, we've come up with some really great questions on the spot with no pre-preparation whatsoever. We just went up there and asked the questions. And this is what kind of what came up.
Yeah, so we were just walking around. We upset some people. What clip should we hear? Should we just hear the...
It's whatever. Pick whatever random... These are people that are congregating.
Well, we have a... We were rubbing some people the wrong way.
Okay.
So I think we'll play this one. I call it the Dirty Trip. It's an edit of some of the things we did. It's about 4 minutes long, and we pissed some people off, especially the people that were looking to buy some LSD. We really insulted them, and... Let's try this one. This will give you a little sampling of what we did, and then afterwards we'll tell you sort of what happened later. Another disaster.
disaster was everything after that. Yes. After those interviews, yeah.
Let's check this one out here.
Here we go.
What is the
money
manager's question?
What are we going
to ask?
What are we going to ask?
My mother moved for screwing around, Frank. I'm really not.
No, I'm using the camera.
Why?
Because Jim Lord entrusted it to me.
He also entrusted that to you.
Now look, we're here at the Woodstock, what is it, film festival? What is this?
Yeah.
The Woodstock
Music and Peace
reunion.
Well, behind us, Frank, we have the people getting stoned while getting tattoos.
What?
You don't have to fucking any of this shit up here.
No, it looks, focus it and press the button, I think. I think that's what you do.
Well, I'll put it to you this way, Woodstock was really a dirty trip, man, as far as, I think that people had to go poo-poo outside and go wee-wee outside and then they went into the lake and went swimming naked. That was like a really dirty thing.
We all know that, though.
Yeah, okay, what else do you want to know?
Mike, we have to interview people. We have not gotten any coherent. One person.
You're asking for coherence out of this crowd.
No, look, all we got to do is this, Mike, okay? You ready? Mike, are you listening to me? Will you stop taking pictures? Mike, you just took two pictures. I have a question, Mike. What, are all the people here morons?
Yes.
Point of view is you're so calm and excellent as
what?
Humor.
Don't put anyone just, down.
No, I'm just, the way the questions you guys are asking, you're not trying to promote peace and love either.
Well, we're
trying to sell magazines.
We're trying to
sell. Yeah, I guess so. Okay, well, we don't want anything to see you.
All right.
Let's not be an asshole.
No. All right. We're not selling anything. All right. So we're going to take off from here.
Go to a mall.
Okay. It's a little bad vibes going on back there.
Yeah. We just got a little fucked up.
So what do you think about peace and love? Do you think it really works or not?
Yeah. Right on. We're here for the money, really.
Well, when it comes to peace signs, we're seeing dollar signs.
Bosco, are you made of chocolate by any chance?
You want a taste?
What do you hate more, dogs or squirrels?
Dogs.
But there's like more cats than dogs in American households.
He says that's true. He's real pissed off about it. He wants to attack you.
Hey, peace, Max.
Okay. Was it poop? Was she a Woodstock? Who did?
You don't have the poverty map when he came in?
No.
Oh. Well, I guess most of the lots are sold. All along this trip are all sold.
Let me ask you, do you think in 20 years there's going to be a shopping mall here called the Woodstock Shopping Mall?
I think it's going to go condos soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The Woodstock condos?
That's what they will probably, they'll probably leave it like that, you know?
Nah, man, get out of here, man.
Why?
No, later. Later for that shit. No.
What shit?
Go ahead. Go somewhere else, man. I don't want to be interviewed, man.
Do you want to be interviewed?
No.
No?
No.
All right.
Forget it, man.
What? You don't like this stuff? No. You want to keep this?
No, I don't.
Take it with
you. I'll
keep it.
Oh, look at this dog pissing on the guy's butt.
Go! Get on your bike, man! Yeah! Fucking dog!
Let me ask you another question.
Go ahead.
What do you think about peace and love?
I'm all for it. I made it see some nudity. Yeah, that's why I came.
What would you rather have, nudity or peace and love?
Girl, nudity.
Okay.
Okay, come up here and made a fortune.
With what? Doing what?
Food.
Selling food?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going to get the food to sell? What?
Go to the store and buy it in the supermarket.
You're nuts.
Yeah, groovy.
That that's about it, you know?
That was my cat.
Woodstock, 89.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell.
What a disaster. What a bunch of nutball people. They were all, you know.
They're all like stoned and drugs.
Stoned on drugs.
That dog is pissing on your bike, man.
They're all pissed off because all of them might, they're showing, we're hanging on our magazines. Oh, I'm not into this. This is, I forgot about that.
Oh, get out of here with that shit, man. I was like, what you're trying to guys are doing with your magazine humor? Meanwhile, these are the guys that had a sign that said, we want acid.
Yeah.
These were the same guys that were trying to buy LSD. And they're saying that we're like, oh, you're too commercial. We don't want any. Go to the mall and all this stuff. You know,
but you,
so
course,
what happened after that? Course, it sounded like we were having a lot of fun.
You love turning my board off, don't you? You just love being able to, just for some reason, you just,
I'm sorry. I'll never turn it off again. It's going to stay there.
What are you doing?
I'll put a bolt in there so doing? I can't put it down. So now of course, so we were having a lot of fun. It was a lovely day going and talking to all the different people at Woodstock about the old days, and then the whole thing. We have a whole audio on it. In fact. It was funny that originally we didn't release it as audio because we were just doing a magazine at that point.
Yeah.
Kind of sad to contemplate.
Yeah, definitely.
But as the sun started setting, everyone was anticipating the lunar eclipse coming up that night.
Your sister's ass.
What?
Nothing to do with the lunar eclipse.
So we decided it was time to take off and get out of there. Got in the the Volvo and started driving on the New York State Thruway, and we drove about 5 miles on the thruway.
And then what happens, Frank?
And we hear a noise. We hear a noise.
A loud noise.
We hear it. Hold on, I think I have this noise. It is the rear axle of the car. The rear axle shatters.
This is not a minor mishap. It's not a blown tire.
Yes, the rear axle shatters.
Goes.
Yes.
You know, we were going, I don't know how fast. Like, you know,
we're trying to get back to Jersey.
Down a steeping, and this is in the mountains. This is in the mountains.
Yeah.
You know? We're going down, and I don't know. And somehow we ended up. This happened near a state trooper barrack. A state trooper was up.
The axle shatters or something. We're able to like to hobble into there's an exit right there. We're at some state trooper barracks, and of course there were no cell phones back then, right? This is the world of 1989. There were no cell phones. We found that would we find a payphone there, or how did we?
Yeah, they let us use the phone, I think.
Yeah, at the police station, they let us use the phone.
Gave us our one phone call,
and we called our photographer friend, and him and his girlfriend,
who's very happy that was the end right there. That was the last time that
we were like, hey Jim, guess where we are? We're up in Bethel, in New York. Yeah, the rear axle shattered. Can you come pick us up? So immediately it's a 5-hour round trip. The guy was not too thrilled.
He finally gets up there. We slept in the car on the way back. We had no food. We were starving. We had no food. We couldn't eat. Couldn't drink. It was a nightmare.
And of course, I
was pissed the entire time at Frank. Just totally fuming at him as I always was because another mishap that he got me involved in.
And it was, that was about 3 months before the final ending of the thing. And let's talk a little bit about the in-between years.
Whereabouts?
What happened in, because between like 1990 and like today. Yeah. Well, of course, we can talk about last year. You came on my other show a couple times, right? So that was sort of.
And then I had to get the bright idea that we do this show again because it could be a very great, I look at it as a very lucrative venture and a lot of great things could happen out of it. And of course, I always look for the next big business opportunity. Like I needed something else to do in my life. And I, of course, immediately started to pursue this rigorously with you to, of course, to kind of take you away from what you were working on and a little bit and say, look, this, I saw something in this. And then, you're like, no, when it's not going to work, it's not going to happen. People don't pay for podcasts, all the negative crap.
Yes,
and,
yes.
We investigated it for a while. And then lo and behold, the summer rolls around after Frank decided to bag this whole thing the first time around. And the summer rolls around. I get a call out of nowhere. I'm up in my house, my summer home up in Maine. And I get a phone call and it's my friend Dave from the West Coast thinking, you've ever heard of podcasting? He goes to me, you guys should bring the Anything Money Back show and put it and do it as a podcast. I almost dropped the phone, and it's like, yeah, I was thinking about doing this as a business venture. No, he goes, no, I thought you guys should just do it just for shits and giggles. It's like, shits and giggles. I'm going to be 41 years old. I don't need to do anything for shits and giggles. I'm a respected businessman. I make a shitload of money.
Respected businessman.
No. Yeah. Please.
Yes. Please. I mean, we actually, in 1990, our lives went in different directions. And I want to do a quick recap. In 1990, I was living at home with my parents, and I got a job in the printing industry in New York City. That started my big thing with working in New York City. And over the years, I continued with various experimental publications, experimental radio shows. Mm-hmm. Finally, in 1994, I started a website, the Obliviana website, which no one understood. It was a bizarre, incomprehensible website and project. Those were like the difficult years. Those were the dark ages. And finally, around 2000, 2001, I started doing more of the internet radio stuff, and that sort of led to my show, The Overnightscape, at theovernightscape.com, a great podcast you can listen to.
And, why are we shamelessly plugging your show, your little show?
Well, I want people to
this.
Know about me, you know, and I got married in 1997,
mm-hmm.
Right? And I got married, and
I got married the same year.
Yes, we both got married the same year. So, and I'm a respected businessman like Mike.
Okay.
I work in the advertising industry. I work on the computers. So right. I'm basically a worker. Yeah. I'm like a worker bee, a drone. I don't control things. I just sort of work.
Right.
I take orders. I fill out timesheets. You don't have to fill out timesheets?
Frank, I own the company, Frank. I
but you still
company.
Should fill out timesheets. Everyone that works fills out timesheets.
I never fill out timesheets. I don't do anything.
You don't
like
know
that.
The joy of timesheets?
No, I answer. I'm on my own schedule, Frank.
When you do timesheets, you have to write down every second of the day, like what you did and what client you can charge it to and things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we went our separate ways. And now we've reconverged at this point.
The time when the universe needs us most is yes. what our opening said. And, you know, we're here. You know, we're here. And, I basically, you know, went on and got into the health and fitness industry. And from health and fitness, I got into starting businesses and very successful businesses. And here I am today, you know, a successful businessman who has nothing better to do on his weekend than spend time with you to create quality entertainment for the rest of the internet world.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning, and it's kind of interesting. It's kind of exciting because we should talk about, you know, this past week. I'm not going to play the roller coaster sound effect again, but it's been just a mad dash from last week putting the studio together.
We put a lot. Did a lot in a very short period of time to get this up to where it is right now, and everything we've done. And when you see, you know, as you go to abmshow.com and you look at everything we've done, we've accomplished a lot. This is, you know, we've done everything the right way from the beginning. We're sparing no expense. We're going to make this the best possible piece of entertainment you can get, you know, online. If you like to laugh, this is a show for people who like to laugh. And, you know, if you like that, it may be worth the $7.99 a month.
And it's kind of exciting because, you know, we're sitting here again. This is this February 17th. This is the very beginning of this whole project.
Right.
You know, and we don't know where it's going to go, but I have a feeling.
We're not really greedy, though, Frank.
I have a feeling that it's going to get somewhere.
I think 20 or 30,000 listeners a month on a regular basis. I would start with that. I'd be very happy. You know, I don't need the 1.5 billion people listening on the internet. They can if they want to.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine with me. But to me, there's 20 or 30,000 of you listening out there. You know, bring us into your lives. Spend some time with us on a weekly basis. Get to know us. It's only going to get better as we go along. You know, this show is mostly cobbled together over the last week.
Well, part of the problem is, you know, we both were sort of focused on the technical aspects and computers and software.
I'm doing
and
all
recording.
The business stuff and the legal stuff and the advertising and the marketing and everything else. And I'm like, wait a minute, we got a show to do tomorrow, and we're both up like 2:30 in the morning.
I know
the night before, and getting up like 4 hours later to do a show.
We're here on 4 hours sleep,
and you're hearing a 3 hour show when it's all said and done. But this show is taking us all day to create.
All I've been eating today. Here's a product plug: are the Kashi. Tasty little chewy granola bars. I'm living on granola bars today. Granola bars and coffee.
Yeah.
That's what I have been living on.
What the fuck that's supposed to mean?
So,
don't give me that smart aleky shit.
We want to thank you for coming along because, of course, you are one of the people who has paid the subscription fee.
I have?
Yes, you are. We're talking to the listener.
Oh, yes.
You're one of the people who's paid the subscription fee. And
you are a true pioneer. And
this is a great, this is a really interesting thing about the podcasting. As a person we're talking to, we could be talking to them literally on Monday. They could be listening to this. A lot of people will be listening to this on Monday.
What I think we should do is the first person who pays.
Yeah.
The first paying member.
Yeah.
The first vanguard of anti-obsequiosity that becomes a premium member.
Yeah.
Okay. We send them $1 million. What do you think?
I would have to disagree with that on... At some level.
Why is that?
Because $1 million?
Sure, why not?
Well, I want that.
Yeah, well, you can have that. How about we
give them like...
It'll be $1 a year for the next million years.
How about we'll give them a marshmallow hamburger? that's a very valuable prize. That's the very
This is not worth $7.99.
Listen, that's a very valuable prize.
Well, you know what? Well, we will send... You know what? Let's put it this way. The winner of this week's...
Yeah.
Boxo crap. will random crap will be the person who's the first person to register that comes through as a registered.
We have to set up. We have to set up the thing where you're registering for the getting the stuff. We haven't worked everything out yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
By the time they're hearing this, Frank, all of it's going to be worked out by you in the next.
Someone could be listening to this in next year, right? This is that's the whole thing. This is the original, the first show.
Mm-hmm. And we'll probably look back on the show in a few months and go, I don't know what we were thinking, and you know, and we have come so far. It'll be an advanced thing, but before we get really super famous, I think the best thing you possibly do is get involved now. You know, start paying now.
If you're in this time period.
You know, if you're in this time period, if you're in the future, you're out of luck. You know, but if you're here now,
yeah,
now's your chance. And I think you should do that before we get too famous and our heads get too big and we're making like hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. Then you're really going to be like, well, you know, you're going to be sorry because you're not going to get this kind of rate.
We're going to increase the price?
Of course. It's only going to go up.
How much could it go up? It'd be like $50 a month? Well, it'll be like as much as like getting a cable television.
It's cost of living, man. You know, as time goes up.
I think $7.99. Who knows? By the time people, maybe it'll be more, but maybe we make like $7.99, $8.25, like a little baby steps.
4% cost of living increase in this market, Frank. You know? Yeah.
Oh, Mike, you know what that music means?
That means the credits. We're wrapping up a show.
This always comes as a surprise, but of course, these are the end credits. And the show is coming to an end. Can you believe we've come to an end of another show? Well, this is the first show.
It's great to see you, Frank. Great to be back here. Bring back old memories, and
it's,
you know, let us know
amazing.
What you'd like to hear. You know, if you anything you'd like to hear, the bits you like more than other bits. We didn't really get to a lot of material we wanted to get to today. We'll hopefully get some of that material next show.
Next week, every Monday, the show comes out
religiously.
No, there's the credits rolling by. A lot of people work on this show. If you look at this.
That's right.
I
never knew we had a best boy.
I know. We have a lot of...
You know, what exactly does a best boy do on the show, Frank? Do I want to know what the best boy does?
The best... What does the best boy do?
Here's the guy... Oh, here's the key grip guy.
The key grip could have helped me earlier. I lost my grip on the key.
Could have used that. All right.
Wow. All these credits rolling by. All the people that have helped us in this venture. Kind of sad that we're at the end of the show.
But the good thing about the internet, they can just download the show, and if you buy, you listen to it over and over and over.
And if you're
again.
A premium subscriber and it's already next week, when this show ends, you'll have the next one in sequence all ready to go.
That's right.
And you'll hear us next week.
Right. Please, be a pioneer. Step out of the box. You know, it's got to start somewhere. Why not with us?
Exactly.
Doesn't it? I mean, it's just got to start. It's got to begin somewhere that people are willing to pay for quality entertainment, you know, on the internet.
I agree.
Well, Frank, it's been a pleasure, a privilege, an honor to be here with you. Thank you for my gifts.
It's been great. I still can't quite believe I got an iPod. That is amazing.
Yeah, I can't believe I got a marshmallow hamburger. As I wanted to close, I told you this off the air, but I you know, there's 85 grams of carbohydrates in this burger. 67.5 of them are pure sugar.
So what is that actually? What does that mean?
That means there's 13 teaspoons of sugar comprised that burger.
Really?
Teaspoons.
So if you took like a thing of sugar
and you ate 13 teaspoons of sugar out of a sugar bowl, that'd be the equivalent of eating this hamburger. It would be.
Well, you know? Eat it.
No.
Why not?
Because.
Are you telling me you're not going to eat like weird crap on the show?
I really can't, you know. So if they bring Tawny in here, I might eat some weird crap on the show.
What was her name? Tanya?
Tawny.
Why do I keep messing
that
up?
She might be a regular. Please write into us if you like to have Tawny be a regular.
Yes.
Because like I said, that to me, that was the funniest part of the whole show. I didn't even listen to the show yet. But so I can't wait to hear her again when we get back. But, you know.
Yeah.
But,
the credits are continuing to roll.
Frank, did you know we had stunt doubles? I didn't even know we had stunt doubles.
Exactly. Well, no, we have two sets of stunt doubles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In case any of them are unable,
I always
to
wondered if your naked ass appeared on TV, did you or like on a movie? Did you have a stunt ass?
Yeah,
was there someone that would stand in for you and you know bring in the stunt ass? Would they do that for you?
They could, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Trying to see some more of the people that work on this show. Ah, look, the vinyl siding repair crew chief, was his name Alberto Monaco. He is in charge. He is the crew chief for the vinyl siding repair on the studio here.
Great.
You know, during the course of any given episode, the vinyl siding can get destroyed by the elements. And Alberto is out there fixing it constantly. The vinyl siding repair crew And, of course, everyone on the crew, there's 10, 15 guys in the crew. We don't want to forget them, but, you know, we can't name them by name. But Alberto Monaco, the vinyl signing repair crew chief, thank you very much. What's the matter?
I'm never on.
Oh, sorry.
You just told me, I promise.
I promise in the future I won't.
All right, fine.
I won't do that anymore. All right. All right, we're getting down to the last 30 seconds here. Good night, everyone.
And keep listening.
Keep listening to the show. Hope you had a great time.
More great things to come, more great interviews to come, and a really amazingly fascinating interview coming up on the next show. Only our premium listeners will get.
Absolutely.
And you know, and you're going to love this guy and the unique concept he has.
Good night.
Good night.